Welcome back to another episode of On Tap. Here we have a holiday special here, 420. We have two legends in the building here to join us, DPK, CPS Dave. Are you guys aware that both of your episodes are two of our most listened to episodes that we have?
Nobody told me.
I did not know.
Well, we're telling you now. Yeah. So we had to bring you guys back in, not only for this holiday, but also to talk a little bit about Deca Shots, who's sponsoring this episode. Deca Shots hooked us up. And when I say hooked us up, like they really hooked us up. They gave us, and this is all legal. You can buy them in the shop. Hey, Bonnie. You can buy them in the shop. We got Delta 9, Delta 10, Delta 8, Deca Shots. And these things come in 50 milligram little bottles here. And so today, in honor of the holiday, I think the pre-show shot is just going to be these Deca Shots. What do you think here, Sam?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
So let's start it off.
I don't know if I'm going for the whole thing, but...
Word on the street, there's 5 shots per bottle, so I mean, tread at your own risk there.
And apparently they're supposed to kick in 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Seems wild, but we'll see.
10, actually. There's 10 servings per bottle.
Oh, okay.
Five milligram servings.
Oh, got it. That makes sense. Okay, so he said 1 cap full is 5 milligram serving, so... Drink at your own risk. It's 50 milligrams for the whole bottle. Cheers, boys.
That was probably like 2.5 caps.
I think I got about 3 or 4 caps in there.
I'm just going to test my luck with 1 cap here. I'll probably take one here in just a couple minutes.
Cody's been off the piss, so he's a little scared.
I've been off the piss. I think this is going to hit me like a freight train here. So, boys, 420 episode here. I figure we just get you guys on. We tell a little stories about, you know, maybe, do you guys remember the first time that you ever had THC?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a bad experience or good experience?
Good.
Do you care to enlighten us?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Bonnie wants to be on.
I just got to high school. And some of the seniors and a kid in my grade and a couple of the seniors were like pretty dead set on getting me to do it because I fought it for so long. They started earlier and I was like, I kept saying no. So the expectation just kept rising and they're like, oh, we're going to get you real high, buddy. And so we got in like this like old school, like Dodge car and drove out to the country and parked by somebody's cornfield and started smoking dingers. And the first thing that I remember happening was the dashboard. I was in the back. The dashboard shrunk immediately. It was like, choo. And I was like, what?
Like, holy shit.
On earth was that? Sat in the back. A little bit later, some combine comes out there to start his like nightly, you know, harvest. And I thought it was the cops. I'm getting like scared, but I'm still having fun. We're coming back into town. Some people cross the street casually. I thought it was ninjas. We go back to the kids. Like, all this stuff is happening. Nothing bad. I guess it kind of sounds like I was being paranoid, but we get back to the kid's house and he's like, he had done it all the time. So he's like, I'm going to bed, man. You good? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I sat there and played with his cat for like 3 hours, just petting this cat. And it was doing that little, you know, that purring noise. And I just sat there just like.
That had to be calming, like super calming.
It was very calming.
Just soft, yeah. Vibrating.
And then I honestly woke up and I was like, man. For all those times that I turned this down, like hyping it up to something that I'm hooked. I'm in. I like it.
I like this. This is not a bad thing.
I did not have a bad experience. Nothing much happened, but it was good.
After that, like, did you kind of start doing it frequently? Like, did it open up the floodgates for you, or did you dabble with it for a little bit, or like, what?
Well, it was early high school, so even if I wanted to do it all the time after that, we A, couldn't afford it. B, we had no connect that could get us anything good. So it was like that Mexi brick. And yeah, so I mean, it was pretty much when it was available. Yeah, I was down.
Yeah, that's the thing. The access at that point probably just wasn't there.
No, and this is like 2004, 2005. It was.
So this was like, you're going to jail also.
Yeah, it was
this
kind of
a big taboo.
It was frowned upon.
Now, I mean, it really hasn't up until recently kind of lifted that, you know? I mean, there's a lot of people that are still in jail and prison right now for pretty minute amounts of it, too. It's pretty crazy that we're able to just sit here and, you know, just consume this and people are just watching it.
Finally.
Dave, you remember the first time that you ever got high?
Yeah, I do. we used to throw a lot of beer parties, but we never really had many stoners. And I remember a buddy's like older cousin that was able to buy us beer was a stoner too. And nobody wanted in, and then everyone was like, Dave will do it. Talk Dave into doing it. And I was kind of like the test dummy. Everyone wanted to see how I would act when I got stoned and stuff. And I remember holding it like a cigarette. It was a glass pipe, but I held it like a cigarette, not knowing how to smoke a bowl or a pipe or anything like that. And then I guess one of the things I remember is like having munchies and being so thirsty. I had never had cotton mouth like that. And like I found like saltine crackers.
Oh, that's early, the worst
early lesson. That is like the worst snack you can have
when
you've got the stoner munchies. But other than that, I remember, you know, it was a typical beer party where we, whether we got it from somebody that was willing to buy it for us or we stole it or whatever, we would just, whoever was willing to come over and drink it with us, we invited them over. And we had this little party shack full of furniture that we furnished from the local town dump. We went and stole furniture from the dump. And I just remember like passing out in this horrid vibrating chair recliner that had like the plug ripped off, and we rewired a plug on it, and just like tipped that back and just cozily fell right asleep in this. It was just this horrid,
that sounds great,
pinkish, maroonish recliner that we stole from the dump. Yeah.
That's sweet. That's the thing. Some of that stuff that's, you know, repurposed, so to speak, is the second time it's being used is always better, because you don't care if it's, you know, you don't care if you throw
someone
it
already
on
broke it in for you.
Yeah. It's nice and comfy. I mean, the seats in that thing is like an 82 Suburban. You know, they just don't make
can't
seats like that anymore. They really don't. I remember the first time that I ever got really, really high. I was like 16, 17. My buddy had given me this Arizona, like the half gallon Arizona teas, and he had filled it with ice, and he had like this little trumpet thing in the side of it. And oh my God, we smoked out of this thing, and I had never had more than just a little bit. I'd never been high before.
Yeah.
And so I remember taking a huge rip, and I remember blowing it all out, and I took another deep breath in, and it was still in there. And I remember really panicking, because I'm like, oh my God. And then I started coughing so bad. I got super hot. And then all of a sudden, I just start projectile vomiting everywhere.
Oh, like, man.
Now I'm unbelievably high. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm hot.
Damn.
You know, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. And then in my head, I'm thinking, like, I've never felt this way from this before. I think there was something else in it. And then I was convinced in my head that maybe he had drugged me.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So it was not a great experience for me, to be honest with you.
That was like a big myth when I was in high school. People would be like, I think this stuff's laced, bro. Everyone was saying it. And like one day it dawns on you, like, who would waste like other good drugs on weed?
And always with PCP.
Yes.
Laced with PCP.
Something like, crazy.
Is that what your plumbing runs through? I don't even know what PCP is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this joint has been laced with PCP.
I've been smoking PVC this whole time.
Yeah, dude.
I'm fucked up. Actually, in high school, we did smoke out of PVC. My buddy had
a
7-footer in his garage, dude. I'm not kidding. We used to hit this every weekend. It made no sense. You physically couldn't even get Andre the Giant to clear this thing. So you would load the thing up. It'd take you like three pulls to get it to the top. And once you'd feel it hit, you just gave it one big and you'd drop.
Oh my God.
Like you would drop of asphyxiation. And when you came back up though, from the depths of what just happened, you've never been higher.
I was seeing this girl in college who had a 6-footer in her dorm room, but it was like wrapped in Christmas wrapping paper. So it was like kind of disguised.
6-footer.
She had a bunk bed that was lofted, you know, so you'd have to be like on the top of this bunk bed to hit this thing.
For what reason do we do these things?
But that's a tag team situation. You can't light 100%. A 6-footer by yourself.
No, you can't. You cannot. Yeah, so you definitely have to have someone at the bottom kind of like running it for you. And it's like kind of a process. It was more of a novelty thing.
Yeah.
You know, the you know, there's not much.
It does look impressive.
Yeah, it does look impressive. And I will say it's a great, great conversational piece when people walk in and you're like, what the hell is that thing wrapped in Christmas wrapping paper in the corner over there?
If you're cool, I'll show you.
Yeah. Are you a cop? No? Okay, let's check it out.
How's your lungs, buddy? Yeah. You ready?
You have to tell me if you're a cop.
Yeah, you have to.
So Cody was just telling me he, he just got back from Florida, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, I was going around, I was looking for weed. I couldn't find anyone to sell me weed. I guess weed's just hard to find in Florida. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you look like a fucking cop with that mustache.
I didn't even consider the fact that, like, I'm not a teenager. I got a mustache. You know, like, yeah. I talk, you know, definitely not like everyone else down in Florida.
Been like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. I'm not giving you shit.
Mustache is very cop-like, dude.
It is. Yeah, and I don't grow like a curly mustache, so very cop-like, I would say. Very cop-like. Well, hey, guys, I got this game back. This is a nice inebriated purchase one night on Instagram stories. It's called Puff Puff Pass, and you just, like, the whole concept is, like, you draw a card, there's dares, there's whatever. I just took out everything besides these questions, like, would you rather, in some debate questions, and they're all centered around smoking. Mm. So I figured, you know, every once in a while, maybe we just draw one of these cards and answer one of these questions.
Yeah.
Debate. Sativa or indica? What's your guys' preference? Now, for those of you that don't know, indica, classically, they call indicouch.
Indicouch.
It's usually more of a suppressed feeling, more of a downer. And sativa is usually the opposite of that, more of an upper, more of the party.
Getting your head, with sativa, it's always been more of a head buzz, more of like the rethinking my entire life kind of high. That's what I get from sativa, more of the paranoia type.
Oh, yeah. Really?
In indica, for me, it's like, holy fuck, I can't even move. So, like, I honestly think for me, just to start us out, I'm going indica for sure. Because if I'm smoking, I'm trying to relax. I want to go to bed. Indica's the way to go. Every time.
I'm going with that, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dave?
I'm kind of more sativa. I feel like, well, I guess it kind of depends, but I feel like indica gives me like a little bit of false fatigue and kind of knocks me out when I don't want to be knocked out.
I'm the same exact way. I would say I'm definitely a sativa guy, only for that exact same fact. Like, I want to just be naturally tired. And I can tell when I'm like, you know, high tired, and I don't like that because that's when I start to get real paranoid for some reason.
I'm
fighting it.
It's like, it's cool now that you can do both, but in all honesty, my whole entire real, what I would call my real smoking career, nobody even knew that there was a difference. It was always rolling the dice. You got a bag from Jimmy down the street, dude. He didn't tell you what it was. He made up a name. He said, this is Alaskan dog punch, buddy, man. This shit's going to knock you out. But he never said indica or sativa. Now, later on, I like to have both so you can use, like, you're out at Country Fest and you got 10 hours of partying. Hell no, I don't want no indica.
Yeah.
But I like the indica better because that real stony feeling comes from it. Like,
yeah.
I remember as a kid, you know, getting it from like always that those couple year older than you guys, and they would call it, you know, this is that Floridian cat piss.
Yeah, dude. You know, I heard holy, that cat piss.
That's exotic.
Dude.
This is good stuff.
And they started raising the price because of the name. Like, oh, dude. You want that like $50 shit or you want like that $70 stuff? You're like,
a no brainer. Of course I want the expensive shit.
If I had 70 bucks.
I'll take it all, man. I'll take it all.
Yeah. Give me $5 worth of that 70 and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was definitely one of those kids that was getting duped. You know, I was definitely getting taxed.
Oh, dude, I would get ripped off.
You could have told me any price. I would never negotiate. I would
100%.
Like, okay.
For me, my first drug dealer was actually my babysitter when I was younger. I swear to God.
Go on.
That's great.
Yeah, I it's pretty crazy. You know, I started smoking. I was like, fuck, I need a drug dealer. Because before it was like, oh, I'd invite a friend over that had smoked before, a seasoned vet. But I got to the point where I'm like, all right, shit, I better find my own guy. I knew my old babysitter dabbled with it a bit. Next thing you know, I'm just running through his house all the time, talking about the old times when he'd be watching me. It was a weird experience. I didn't even know how to comprehend it.
Talking about the old times when he used to be watching me.
Yeah, remember when I was 7? God, those were good times.
Great times.
Then he's smoking you up. What a guy. Or girl. What a
guy.
Fella.
Yeah, maybe don't let dudes babysit your kid. Maybe they'll end up selling them drugs
later.
Most people
don't, you know. It's like female babysitters.
That's a good point. I never had a male babysitter.
I had a couple, and they were pretty awesome, but they would usually, like, beat us up and stuff.
I think my mom was just really progressive, and she went with a male babysitter. She was a change of the times, you know?
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I personally, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, when Lincoln gets older, am I going to be comfortable with another male babysitter? So it depends on the age. How much older was this guy?
I'd say I was, when I was 10, he was probably like 16, 15.
Okay, that's not that weird. I would say that's pretty acceptable.
Oh,
I was thinking this
dude,
is like an adult man.
My guy babysitter was like.
Think of it like that.
You kept saying guy. So I'm thinking like, okay, maybe he's like 25. I'm okay. Like, that's a little sus.
Yeah, if I was 7 and my babysitter was like 43 and it was a dude, that's fucking like, weird.
It's actually your dad.
Yeah. It's just, actually like, your real dad.
This is his time he gets to spend with you.
My babysitter was 43. I was 7. I mean, it was my dad, but.
Oh, he was a career babysitter.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. He's there all the time. And then he smoked me up.
He's union.
Yeah.
He's union.
Yeah. Did y'all's parents, that's a good question to ask because I'll start mine by saying, like, my parents were not okay with it. Like,
oh, no.
It was like a death sentence.
Oh, dude, I've told this story on here multiple times. When my dad caught me, he made me call every single one of my family members and tell them.
Yeah.
That he found weed in my room.
Yeah, it's and over.
It was traumatic. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't touch it again until I was in college.
Yep.
And this would have been like a, you know, 3-year stretch where I was scared of it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not fun anymore. Like, that's trouble.
Yeah.
Dude, calling your whole
that's
family.
That's definitely trauma.
My dad did that to me, actually, when I got a drinking ticket one time. He said, you're gonna call your grandparents and everybody and let them know that you let them down. I was like, oh, God. Like, I just didn't see that punishment coming. I'm okay. I mean, I'd rather go to jail. Call up grandma.
What did they say when you called?
The conversation was actually a little easier than I thought. I was like, oh, okay, you know, you're going to be all right. You're just, you know, I don't know, you're a little troubled right now.
Oh, my God. I wish
mine would
have gone.
Travis is going down the dark road.
But as far as my dad, I will say, like, when he found out that I had smoked, it was a scary experience.
Oh, dude.
I was
afraid. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I was afraid. I was like, it is funny, like later on in life, because I will say once the world started to let it, you know, it became more acceptable. Both my parents obviously came around to it. They don't really participate, but they stopped caring about it.
Yeah, I think at some point it just kind of goes that way, especially with the way the times are changing.
Yeah, definitely. Nowadays it's completely different. I mean, my mom has always been like, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
That was kind of our, you know, unspoken agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't ask me and I didn't tell her and it was good. She obviously knew. I mean, there's no way she didn't as a kid. Like, I did not hide it when my parents are split up. So when I was at my mom's house, that was like the fun spot.
Yeah.
I was out till like 3-4 in the morning. I'm sure I come home reeking it. You know, there's no way she didn't know. But again, she's just like, not going to ask and I'm not going to say nothing. And it was cool. It is whatever. It is what it is. What do you guys think about some of these places that are opening up to be a little bit more friendly towards it? For example, here in Minnesota, edibles and drinks, shout out to DecaShot again, are legal. What we have here is completely legal. Bent Paddle Brewing Company in Duluth has drinks with THC in them.
Yeah.
You can go there, drink them in the brewery, and get high.
That's awesome.
Like, what a wild scenario that we're living in. How do you guys feel about this, like, huge cultural shift that's going on right now?
It is totally different. You guys kind of brushed on it, too. My parents, 15 years ago, were so against it. It was the devil. And I would guess I would like to know their opinions on it now, because I don't know if it's the same, because the times have certainly changed.
Oh, it's way different. Yeah. It's way different. I mean, people aren't going to jail for it now.
Yeah.
In like a normal quantity, obviously.
Yeah.
And to the same regard, I mean, what a weird bag of worms that we've run into now when it comes to like DUIs. Because like, how can they tell? Like, obviously you can tell if someone's really fucked up, but like a normal amount, what I would consider just like a friendly, I'm hanging out, I'm having fun. How can you determine if they've consumed it or not?
And it massively varies on person, tolerance, weight. Like there's people that could, you know, eat a fraction of a gummy and they're like messed up for 2 days. And there's people that did a 6-footer and then they're driving a school bus.
Well, that's okay, people in Prescott are just built different.
Hey, people in Prescott are built different.
The tolerance is a huge range. Because, it is. Because I'm a daily smoker, and sometimes wake and bake every day for whatever. Sometimes it makes me lazy. Sometimes it makes me more motivated, more creative.
Yeah.
But I've got a pretty high tolerance. I don't feel like it negatively affects me in some ways. But then some people don't have that tolerance, and I forget that. So then if I smoke them up and we're partying, we're drinking right. beer, and I will just crush them. I don't realize I'm crushing them. I don't know their tolerance because I guess I'm just rolling with it like I usually roll with it.
Right.
But you can get a
speed. I've definitely pushed some people over the edge. Like exactly like you said, I smoke pretty much every day. And you do forget that, like, oh, yeah, this motherfucker that smokes once a month, he's not going to be able to keep up with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it can ruin a person's night real quick.
It can.
Right, back in the day, I used to be more of a regular smoker. And like, since I job changes and stuff these days, I don't smoke as much. But back in the day, I mean, I used to pride myself on finding that one person that yeah. barely does it
yep.
and putting them in the dirt.
Oh, really?
Well, it was just so funny. Like the one kid you go to school with that's always talking about it but never does it. And then he comes right. over and you're like, okay, I'm going to bust out everything I got on this guy.
You know? You got that one pack that's like, okay, I know this stuff's a little bit yeah. stronger. I'm going to whip it out of this guy's hair, you know, and like...
He's especially after drinking, like that is another test. Like you're at the after bonfire yeah. and someone's been drinking all night and you're like trying to smoke this blunt.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Some people call it crossfaded. Some people call it twisted, drinking and smoking together. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, when it's right, it's amazing.
Right.
Yep. When it hits the wrong way, when the combo just doesn't work, yeah. It's just like this unavoidable spinny hell.
Your whole body's yeah. vibrating in yeah. not a pleasant way. It took me years to master it, honestly.
You got it mastered?
I think I got it down pretty good.
Attaboy.
But for years, if I smoked when I was drunk, it would ruin my night instantly. And really? Then just years of trial and error, I got to figure it out eventually. Now we're rocking.
And it would just put you out?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, how do you... Are you asking me for entertainment purposes or do you not know? Because, dude, it could put you out bad.
I think I feel blessed. I've never had a bad experience with it. I've gotten too fucked up to the point where, like, I just pass out.
Oh.
But I've never had it give me a negative effect. Usually it's like, oh, I'm way too drunk. This yeah. will level me out a little bit.
Dave shook his head like, I already know. I got to hear what he's going to say about
it. Yeah, I've been crossed a few times. And it's the no tolerance issue. And I've traditionally been more of a drinker. I really didn't start consuming THC until a lot later in my life. I worked manufacturing jobs where we got a lot of random tests.
Right.
And I couldn't touch it for years. But I've had a lot of times where, like you said, like late at night, oh, let me hit that joint. And if you've already been drinking all day, it'll just deep dive you right into a toilet.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Whole new world.
I also think it has something to do with the order too. Cause I always felt like if you smoked and then you started drinking, like you'll be fine. Like the rest of the night. But yep. like if you were out drinking all night and you come back to the after party or something, someone busts out some weed, you smoke a couple while you're sitting there, everything's fine. But like, as soon as the world slows down, you go sit down or something. Yeah. It feels like you're riding Dave's record player out there just fucking. Yeah. You're like, you know what's about to happen,
and
man.
You got to understand, I'm a finely calibrated machine. I pretty much know how many beers I can drink in a night. And when you don't have a tolerance for pot, if you throw that in there, it's just going to throw your calibration way off.
Way off.
And now, like you said, you've got a little bit more experience with it. You're kind of used to it. And I feel like pot has significantly curved my drinking, where I kind of just go on cruise control with that.
Yep.
And it's because the pot will push you out of that pocket so much faster. You feel like you're bombed, but you're not yep. really.
Right.
You're stoned. And so it curbs the drinking, and it kind of helps with that going off the deep end a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's a good point. What is some good remedies for you guys if you feel like you're getting too fucked up? Like, what's your go-to, like, safe spot? Maybe thing that you need to do. For me, it's just like I need an ice cold bottle of water or glass of water, and I just need to like be by myself for a little bit.
Yeah,
and just kind of like I just need to like decompress here for like 10 minutes.
Slight isolation, maybe like just like
yeah,
take a little hike, a little ice cold drink on the wrist or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, those times where you get where it's like you know, you're too fucked up where, like, I forgot even what my thought was 5 seconds ago. Like, that's like, okay, I need to calm down a little bit.
And do not look your face in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Do not make eye contact with yourself.
Why is that? I've never done that. Why is that?
Because you can visually see that you're fucked up. Your eyes don't lie.
Oh. Yeah. So you're like convincing yourself.
But you normally never see your own image.
Okay. Well.
So if you see your own image and you're fucked up, you're like, oh, no. This is bad.
Yeah.
Like, this, I got to get my shit together.
I've definitely had that with psychedelics before where absolutely do not look in the mirror no matter what. Because that's when shit gets real. Especially when you look at your own face and fucked up shit's happening.
Starts melting.
You're
like, yeah. You're like, oh, holy.
This is good.
Holy fuck.
I don't have any mirrors in my house.
For that reason?
Good call. Good call.
For that reason? I definitely do.
Well, hey, guys, what do you think about maybe taking a little bathroom break? Coming right back here.
It's time for a bathroom break. The boys will be right back.
So I'm Al. I made DecaShot. We made it with a nano proprietary product, so it ends up being 50% more bioavailable available for the body to absorb. So it'll hit you faster, last longer, and be stronger. We have a Delta 8, we have a Delta 10, and Delta 9. The Delta 9 is going to lay you back. The Delta 10 is going to send you forward. And the Delta 8 is about half of what a Delta 9 is. And everything's brought to you by Pine Bud Supply Co. I also teamed up with them, and we have the freeze-dry ice cream sandwiches and cotton candy. They're all 50 milligrams. With the shots, all you got to do is grab them, shake them up. 5 minutes, you're going to start feeling these hit you, and hopefully you see on the show, it'll be hitting them.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, we really appreciate you bringing this for us. We really appreciate you sponsoring this episode. It's a huge help. Thank you for everything.
Thank you, and thanks, Kind Bud Supply Co.
The dentist office was so unbelievably, like, clean and elegant, and, like, everything about it was actually, like, in my opinion, coming from Prescott, and it's a pretty local, chill dentist, it was, like, it kind of felt like a pretty luxurious experience, man. They picked us up from our Airbnb for every single, I had to go there to get it checked, come back, to get them taken out, and then they had us come back to, like, check before you go to the airport to make sure it's all good. Dude, they picked us up for every ride, dropped us off at the airport. I'm talking, like, hundreds of dollars worth of rides if you were to be getting Ubers. And the place looked like it should be in Edina. That's how clean it was.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
I've heard of a lot of people go to Mexico to get teeth stuff. Yeah. My dad's buddy just had a whole set of veneers put on.
Yeah, that's primarily what they do.
And it was, like, $3,000?
Yeah.
For the whole set. He's like, in the United States, that would have been like $40,000.
Yeah. Oh, man, depending on, like, the implants, sometimes people save, like, a brand new vehicle's worth of money doing it, whether you have insurance or not. I probably saved, to some people, they'd probably be like, to save that amount of money, it wouldn't be worth it to me. But it was like, I don't know, I probably saved $2,000.
Fuck, I think that's worth it for sure.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was like, dude, obviously I've been doing, like, the social media thing. People kept saying, don't you think, don't just use your insurance. I'm like, are you watching my videos? Have you seen me fucking iron working lately? Like, I was like, I don't have insurance.
Yeah.
You got to get on a TV show. You got to get that SAG.
Yeah. Well, I was like, man, do you think TikTok provides health insurance? I was like, it's been a while since I was hanging iron. So, like, I got to pay for this in cash. I'm saving the $2,000. And to make it worth it in my mind, I was like, all right. Caroline's already just invested, just like, we're going to go, we're going to have a vacation for like 4 days, and then we're going to get our, you know, your teeth ripped out. She got a couple cavities filled and whitening, and which is super cheap there too.
I believe it.
And honestly, last 2-3 days, I go, you know what, to make this really fucking worth it, I'm going to make a song, something about Mexico, something. I don't know what it is. It's going to be about Mexico. And she's like, already, I lost her. She's like, it's too much. Like, it's a week away. And I think I was a little ahead of myself on the idea. I just wanted to make the trip worth it, like,
right,
on all fronts.
Yep.
And I went in the studio, the old DPK studios, single wide studios, and I just started fucking around in there for a little bit. And all of a sudden, I got on this fucking tent. It's about Blame Tequila, baby. Like I got in that keys mode.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And I made that song in like 2 days. When we left, I was in the whole airplane ride to Mexico. I'm listening to shit, like, getting it down. I filmed a music video out there.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
I mean, we filmed the whole thing on my cell phone with the gimbal in random locations. So, like, is it going to be, you know, top tier quality? No, but for one, the phone works great. Two, the backdrop on everything is fucking immaculate. Every shot looks good. Like, I'm walking down the street one time, like this, on like an island out there, walking down the street, and these guys were watching. On my third take down the street, I'm like, I need to interact with them. I like ran up to them as I was doing the line, smacked a high five with it. Homeboy kind of missed my hand, but like I got a high five from him. I'm like, that's going to be in the video for sure.
That's sweet. What's sweet? What does a guy got to do to be able to film a banger music video for you?
Dude, I mean, I would love you to. I would love to work with you.
Oh, this man kills it.
I know he kills it. And I'm honestly like if people think that I want to be filming my own shit all the fucking time like that, like it's a hassle and a half. And I know it turns out half as good because I'm doing like tripod shots and shit all the time.
I honestly don't know how you do it because I'm trying to do all my own content too. And I've been doing leather working lately. And I'll record stuff start to finish as I'm doing the work process. But then I got to do all the editing work.
Right.
And even just pulling all that to get to my computer was a hassle. And then laying it all out in a timeline, and that took me like 3 days just to work that out, you know. And it's so much that it's like it stresses me out, and it kind of pushes me away from wanting to do it because it's like it's a labor-intensive process to go through all that.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. That's what in my head I was like, I'm just going to learn how to edit. And I'm going to put the time into investing into the proper equipment. I'm going to get a good laptop. I'm going to build a nice PC. And so I can edit on the go. I can edit at home, whatever. And I'm just going to make sure that I can do it myself because a lot of people don't realize, like, not only is it hard, but it's also expensive to, like, hire someone to edit or shoot shit like that, too. And it's like, it just sometimes it doesn't make sense. If you're not making that money off of the video, like, us here, like if I didn't edit, we'd be fucked. We wouldn't have this show.
My
couldn't afford it.
My friends and like my homies in the videography world, because of my loving them and knowing them for a while, like I will always say, every one of the videos I've done myself, I do not think is anywhere near what I could have got from them. But I started doing my own out of necessity, where it was like, if I didn't have somebody that was there to do it, or I didn't have the money or whatever, I'm certainly not going to fucking ask someone like, hey, will you do this for free? Like, I know that your time is money, but I need to fucking make a video for this. And I don't even know yet, like, how I want it to be. So I just start. And next thing you know, I'm like coming up with ideas and setting my, and I get creative sometimes. Like I even one time in Texas set my phone on the tailgate of my truck, weighted it down on the gimbal, started driving in the backside of this man camp, and I was jumping out of the fucking truck and running up behind my truck.
No way.
Yeah, as I was ghost riding
fucking
rapping behind it. And once I'd get like, I don't know, halfway through a fucking verse, I'd run back and jump in it. And there was at least three motherfuckers sitting on a porch drinking beers looking at me like, what in the fuck?
Dude, but that's some of those like
moving shots, you know?
Yeah.
We got one in Mexico, but a lot easier. Rent a golf cart, got Caroline on the back, Taya driving. Only downside to that was at multiple times she started going like what felt like 15 miles an hour. And I'm like,
so you're like running after it.
I was like, you basically got to just idle the whole way. Like, don't hit the gas. And sometimes I'd be going, everything's going good, and then I just start sprinting.
That's hilarious. One time I was doing a music video here in the Pine City Trailer Park, and my wife was driving because I knew that we had to have a shot kind of like that, and we had just got a big snowstorm. And my wife is driving this vehicle. I got the back hatch of her SUV open. I'm kind of sitting there with my gimbal and this camera that I just bought. This camera right here. I just bought this thing. I got this nice gimbal. I'm going back, and this guy's kind of walking, rapping. And then all of a sudden, behind us, this car hits another car. Like, we got a full-on car accident on video in the background of this music video. It's kind of cool.
That's content.
It just so happened to be his buddy, too. The buddy was supposed to be in the music video. Like, that was part of his gig was he was going to drive up. They were going to get out, pretend to like rough him up. And then this guy's quote unquote security guard was going to like push these guys away. But he was going to be unfazed and just keep like one take, rapping, walking. And we just like full on watch him get into a fender bender right on camera. It was kind of funny.
And HD too. That'd be good.
Yeah, caught in 4K to a whole nother meaning.
Good. You still got that footage?
I do. Yeah. The video's on YouTube right now.
Dude, Travis, I was watching that video where you're on the bleachers. I can't remember what song it's to, but
Backseat Freak.
It's the one where you're changing spots. Yeah. Like, how long did that take you to edit that? Because,
bro, thank you for saying that. It didn't take me long to edit it, but as far as a person like Cody that does videos knows that what I did is nothing special, but I knew that to get that video out that no one was going to help me. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, what can I do that would have enough movement?
Yeah.
That would keep your mind like, I watched this, you know? And I thought, if I get a decent sized bleachers that's not at a fucking elementary school or something with people watching, I could film in multiple spots and just be popping all up fucking over the place. And I went to Cottage Grove. There's one in the middle of a field. Got to walk through like 8 miles of snow to get out there and nobody there to watch you. And I set that thing up. I think I filmed for about 45 minutes to an hour and it probably took me 3 hours to edit it. But I was stoked with how that looked. The video didn't really do nothing like numbers wise, but that doesn't make me feel any less proud of it.
That's one of those things that's just always out there though, too. I mean, that's with you, with like regular YouTube videos, you never know when one's going to pop off. Cause that could be like 10 years down the road. You know, the first thing I thought of when I saw it was like, damn, he must've took a long time to film that, because I've been in that scenario and I've filmed a couple of music videos where it's like, a couple people, like the same person in the frame, but all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, three different guys, but they're all the same guy rapping the song at the same time, different outfits, whatever. And even that just takes forever to film because you're like, okay, now let's run through it again. Okay, now let's run through it again. Okay, now let's run through it again. And then another time just for safe measure, just in case you messed up on a word or whatever.
I really just kept I walked to the bleachers. I had my Bluetooth speaker behind me. I walk up, I do a take. I'd walk back to my camera, make sure it's still running and shit because the battery on that Blackmagic doesn't last for shit. Press record again. Go pick a different spot, do the song, and I just kept moving. I think I did 5 or 6 spots, and then I was like, should be good.
Dude, it ended up great.
Thank you.
I mean, so do you have a process where you're like brainstorming what you're going to do for some of these music videos, or you just kind of like think of something and like, all right, I'm going
to
do it now?
For those ones specifically, there was no thought process to it because I didn't even really know that I was going to get that project. Long story short, those songs kind of were written or created a long time ago. That's why I called the mixtape 2012. Mm-hmm. But they were either unfinished or super amateur, you know, mixed back then or a remix. There was a lot of reasons why I didn't put them out in a full. So I kind of reclaimed them. We made new beats around them, new recordings. I changed some of the more amateur things I said in the songs. And I didn't think I was going to make videos. But once I hear Trips' version of these songs, every one of them slaps. He really evolved on that mixtape. And then I was like, every one of these needs a video. And he's like, bro, it comes out in like 3 days. And I was like, well, then I'm just going to go random places and film shit. So I'm like, 2 lyric style videos so people will not judge him harder.
Yep.
And then 2 that are going to be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I ended up putting out 3 of the 4 because I figured Wisconsin has to be pretty big. But so the other ones, one I did in my living room of the trailer park. The other one, I walked up to a brick wall and I was like, if I sit in the corner, the whole rest of the wall can be lyrics.
I like that.
And then Backseat Freak, which was my favorite one. I was like, I'm putting on that motherfucking Umbro windsuit.
Yes.
I'm going to go hit the town, figure something out. And I drove around Prescott and every set of bleachers is like right next to a school. And it's the middle of like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to have to go to another town, I guess. So I just drive to Cottage Grove. And I was like, when I was a kid, there was a skate park over there. I used to hang out at it. Maybe it's still there. Can't imagine I forgot how to get there. And just some straight ghost driving happened. I was like, I know exactly where I am. I haven't been there in 15 years. Drive up to it. You could see the bleachers off in the distance. And I could just tell. I was like, that's the one.
This is the spot.
So no thought process whatsoever. Not wanting to film it at a school made me go to Cottage Grove, and then I found the perfect set of bleachers that didn't say nothing behind it and just went for it. But yes, I would love to make a music video with you sometime if you would be down.
I'm totally down. I've honestly wanted to ask you since we've met.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, maybe he, you know, because like some guys, it's kind of taboo. Like if like some of my closer artist friends, like there maybe is this weird thing where it's like, you're my video guy, you know?
Well,
so, like, everyone kind of has their video guy.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I definitely do. My boy Rocco has put himself into the place where, like...
He kills it.
I love the kid to death. But he is on his own warpath right now of killing it. And like he just popped on. He just got off. He went with Adam Calhoun and all them on tour. Got a couple of months break. Unfortunately for me, you know, creativity comes when it comes. I didn't come up with nothing in those 2 months. Now he's already on the Demon Jones tour.
That's crazy. He's killing it. So yeah, he's doing always cool shit. So that's why.
Well, it's not, you know,
there's always like that one buddy.
It's not why, but it's like my original one was Jake Schiller, my buddy. He did Welcome to America for me. He absolutely nailed it.
Oh, yeah, that was
fucking
cool.
Loved it. But Jake was like, not gonna lie, bro. And this is like, this is kind of the cockiest shit I've ever heard. He's like, not gonna lie, bro. I'm just not really feeling the videos no more. I'm doing other shit. Like the creativity didn't pay the bills, and he's killing it doing like his own business, and no videos.
Oh,
not messing with videos.
Damn.
And I was like, bro, I mean, I am thankful as fuck for the one, but like, you mean to tell me it's just something that you can just nail like that, and you not worthy of like continuing? Like, I'm all here like amateurly, like whipping this shit together, and he's like, nah, like he knows what he's doing. And so we weren't working together no more. And then I met Rocco, and Rocco was like more of a photographer. And I was like, bro, I need someone that does videos. Pictures aren't like, I love pictures, but I'm like, I don't know if it's going to do nothing for me right now. And he just started kind of out of necessity helping me. So he kind of became my guy, but he told me like, if I'm doing other shit, then like, you got to thrive on. He's also a fan of me doing it myself. He doesn't diss me like, what are you just trying to save money? Like, you know, like, and I'm not, I'm like, dude, you weren't there for it. Or like Mexico, for instance, what was I supposed to do? You think I'm that big of an artist right now where I could pay a videographer to like, yeah, but I got you on the Cancun trip.
Right.
You come with me. I got you. Like, I would be like, I got your plane tickets, stay in the same damn Airbnb as me, sleeping on the foot of my bed, film everything.
And I love that you do it yourself. You really carve out your own style that
you do.
Way. That's the best way to carve out your own style. It's just by struggling, by figuring it out, because there's no better immediate feedback to what you like and don't like than yourself. And so it just evolves so much faster. And I think that you've been killing it. I did love the bleacher shot, and that, you know, you're saying, well, it didn't really pop up as a video, but that just still makes A+ content for like your Spotify video as a song plays.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's, I love that idea, and you've been putting out some quality stuff.
You know your music better than anyone. Like, you know what the real meaning is behind it. So like your visuals that you're creating yourself are obviously going to correlate with that. Better, you know, even if the quality isn't necessarily there, or you don't like the way that ended up or whatever, like the vision is definitely better portrayed by the person who wrote it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just like, I think that I 100% agree. That's why I keep doing it. If I hated the product, I would have bailed after doing the first one. But it's like, when I do it, I always start judging myself, I guess. I'm like, dude, like, you don't know what you're doing. You're literally just, like, chopping shit up and putting it, like I do research on how to do things, but I don't really know what I'm doing. So when I'm doing it, I'm just like, I think this looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this here. I'm going to make this go da-da-da. Like, just random things. And then my brother will be like, I like what you did there, but, like, how did you do that? And I'll explain it to him, and he'll tell me that I basically... It'd be like trying to drive from point A to point B and doing like a complete loop around the whole world before you go to it. Like, I'm just doing all this, you know, and he's like, it's like this, bro, when it comes to the hotkeys or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you can do that? Like, I'm individually, like, I did the first like 3 or 4 videos that I ever did myself on InShot Pro on my phone.
Holy shit.
So he was looking at that like, bro, what are you doing to yourself? I mean, I'm hand doing this shit with my hand. Nope. And then I finally, you know, got DaVinci Resolve. And
everyone starts out that way, though. And I mean, here's the thing. You heard of CapCut before?
Yeah.
They have a mobile version that's like really good just for quick TikTok videos. But their desktop version, crazy.
Yeah, Rocco just told me that.
Oh, he was DMing us.
Yeah, he just told me that. He was like, do you know that this? And I was like, I keep seeing it on TikTok. CapCut. But
the desktop version, it's all built off of AI.
I've seen the watermark.
Yep. So yeah, their desktop version, from what I understand, I don't think there's a watermark, and it is free. The craziest thing is it's all hosted online. So like, you don't necessarily need really good hardware in your laptop to have a good editing machine, because CapCut is based on cloud software. And then also there's implementation from like ChatGPT into it. So like the AI in it is unbelievably smart, and the captions for it are crazy. Like, dude, you got to use it for your lyric videos, because you pop this thing in, you literally hit generate captions. Every single word is automatically filed in.
Some of the stuff that you do, like, do you doing that manually? Or are you using like the,
so like for our clips that we use for here, for like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, whatever, I use another AI generated app called, I think it's just called Captions, but it's like a Q instead of a C. But I guess I've never tried CapCut Mobile for captions, but like, dude, these things are crazy. Cause like on my captions app, the AI is unbelievable. You pop it in and almost, I'm going to say 99% of the time, every word is exactly right, exactly spelled the right way. So a few things, like when they say Cody, like my name is K-O-D-Y, not C-O-D-Y.
Yeah.
I have to like change some of that kind of stuff, but like they wouldn't know that. But the craziest part about it is like, not only does it generate the captions automatically, it will give me a recommended title, description, and hashtags based on what the content is in the reel. So like,
that's scary.
It is super scary. So not only is it analyzing the words and putting that together, but it's also, they from what I understand, they base it off of like three to four words that are normally put together, and they can essentially like determine what the video is about, and they can generate captions, descriptions, hashtags based on that. So like, all, for example, I uploaded a clip that was like about Mitch and Bodie were talking about like, if you're on the job site and there's no shitter, and I did that for captions. That was the first one that had ever popped up for me on, and it would said like a job site disaster : never going to do that again, or something like that. And I was like, wait, I didn't type that. Like, what? And the app had just updated. And then I click on the description. It was like, one time I was on the job site and I didn't have a porta potty, so I had to improvise. And I was like, I didn't type that. And that's not said in the video. It just completely makes this up for you. So you can just like, and there's even a button, copy. You can just copy the whole description, paste it on whatever you're posting.
It's wild.
It's just like replacing humans' jobs and stuff
like that. It is, dude.
I'm over there typing. Dude, I was typing my lyric videos manually. Like,
I've done it.
Like an Amish nerd or something.
Hours and hours and hours, dude. I've done it. And now it's just like, you just pop it in and then boom, it's written out. 5 seconds. It's insane.
That means, it makes me feel like we got like maybe 2 years left of even like attempting to be content creators before people can just, you don't have to have no creative ideas. Right. You know, it's just like, here's 3 viral TikTok ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, here's the craziest part is like things like Midjourney, where these AI apps that generate photos. If you can generate photos, you can generate video, because all you really need is 24 videos and that's 1 second of footage.
Have you seen the ones with audio? Have you seen the big thing like on TikTok right now?
I got the Kanye West Morgan Wallen song one.
They keep changing Kanye's voice. Like, they can make Kanye sing any song and it sounds just like him, dude. That's crazy.
They said in no time, like, they will be able to make video and audio, where like basically, like, let's say me and CPS Dave, you know, we're known for being these respectful guys. We ain't going to go out there and just say some real off the cuff shit to people.
Yeah.
They could literally generate a video where we did, because there's so much out there of your voice and your face and everything. They can make it where you came in the bar and just, you know, you're sitting at the bar, so it just said some crazy shit. I'm like, that is not good.
Well, at least now that should eliminate cancel culture. Like, it wasn't me. It was someone AI. Made this.
That's a deep fake. That's not me.
I'm definitely keeping that in the back of my mind. Anything ever happens, you know, you get Morgan Wallen out there, just be like,
yeah,
that was AI.
That was AI on that ring doorbell.
I'm not talking about Allen Iverson.
Well, that's the thing. You if it can generate a photo, it can generate a video. You need 30 videos or 30 photos to make a video in 30 frames a second. You know, so you could just say, type in, make me a video about, you know, DPK saying the N-word on a bar stool. Boom, there it is. Boom, you're canceled.
And then not even on the bad side, though, it's like, so can you just, you know, like, let's say Kanye's like, well, if he's still around, hey, I'm done making music. You can just make him keep making music.
Like, yeah, that's what they're saying about.
That's not a bad point.
Like, the music industry is just eating the shit up because now they can just produce whatever they
like,
want.
Oh, you
want
to hear that new Prince song, dude? Like, he just dropped it. Like, the fuck he did?
It's insane.
Yeah. Dude.
Bodie and I were just talking about this. Like, the stock image world has just been rocked by AI because you can, you know, type in anything you want and boom, there it is. So there's a lot of people that are just, like, typing in random things that might be popular keywords. You know, guy by the beach holding hand with wife. Boom. And then they upload it to these stock image sites, and if people download it, they get paid. So there's like all whole new businesses completely being formed in the last 6 months here because of that.
I gotta like, as a artist, I can't like that. Like, it seems to make things easy, but it's like, God damn.
It's going to force everything to get better in the long run though.
Because true.
The true talent is going to be the people that can physically do it.
Right.
Not the people that just type on a keyboard. People like playing instruments, for example.
Yeah.
People that can actually play a live show.
That's going to be way more value.
That's going to have more value.
That's a good point.
Same with the trades. The trades will always have a value. And there's continually less and less people in the trades.
Yeah, it's definitely getting lower and lower.
To have that skill set, the value of that is increasing more and more and more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's your guys' take on the AI thing? You think it's going to, like, take over the world?
Well, like, the video that I saw that kind of tripped me out was this guy was explaining, you know, he's like, you know, well, it could never replace a real artist. And he was like, okay, I agree, but, like, let me show you something. And he, like, had it on his TV behind him. And he's like, if me and you sat down, just to give you a precursor of this program, he's like, if me and you sat down and explained the same exact thing to this, it will create completely different pictures. No one time will it ever do the same thing, no matter if you say the same words or everything. But he was like,
yep.
I want like a old woman. She's like, you can tell from behind that she's like old enough where it's probably at the end of her life. She's walking up like a old rock staircase. And it's got, and he's kind of making up the details as he goes. And he's like, it's kind of falling apart, but she's walking somewhere where you feel overly positive. The top is light. It's not like the heaven's gates, but it gives you the impression. And he gives it a pretty cool like description. This thing generates like this ungodly, beautiful
photorealistic
photo picture. Like if it was a painting, it would be in a museum, no doubt. And it just makes it out of, it might've been a 2 minute video.
Yeah.
He just thing makes it from what he said. And he goes, if I don't like save this, if I say that same thing, it make a different picture. I was like,
it's crazy.
Like I remember when I got, you know, the AI pictures are very popular now where people just, you know, get their cartoon generated.
Yep.
I think people can tell this, but this has been a while since it's adapted and got better. But my logo, I had that shit hand drawn by a friend of mine that does graphic art. He does phenomenal work. And I just was like, I know you don't usually do like client work, but like, will you draw me this logo? I never imagined how fucking big that logo was going to be for me, but he hand drew it. And you can tell
that's
by
sweet.
All the lines and details, but I see people with similar style pictures all the time.
Yeah.
And they're like, I mean, I did it. I was like, here's 10 selfies on some app and you paid like $2.99. Shit, every version of it that it made of me was fucking epic.
Yeah. Like, dude, it's insane.
I put a video on TikTok, like 15 of them flashing, and every one of them, I'm like, made me look better than I do in real life.
Exactly. It makes you look skinnier, makes you look buffer, makes you look taller. Yeah. You know, like all the qualities that you would like to see, it just knows already.
Like a superhero, you're like.
Talking about Bowflex?
Bowflex. Yeah, it does. Yeah. All you have to
total
do.
Total gym.
You know, six payments of $9.99, and you can have this body too.
Shit. That's a hell of a deal.
Are we even podcasting right now?
We're pretending to. I think maybe we need to read one of these new cards here. Would you rather? Here's a nice one.
Yep.
Would you rather fuck a cow and nobody finds out, or not fuck a cow but everybody thinks you have and you can't convince them otherwise?
Oh, man. I guess I'd rather do it.
Hey, move all day, baby. Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
Really? I don't want everybody saying that shit every day. I'd be like, yo, I did not.
Hey, cow fucker.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to make the best of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm gonna romance this cow. You're gonna Nobody's enjoy ever it. Gonna know.
You're gonna enjoy it.
What do you think CFDT stands for, dude? Cow fuckers downtown.
Is that a thing? Is what's no, where's CFDT?
It's from? A song of mine.
But how'd you not know that, bro?
It's a double entendre. It's a Country Fest Dream Team. But then one time we were sitting there with some girls and they were like, "What's CFDT stand for?" Because we all called ourselves that because Country Fest Dream Team, duh. And Colton just looks over at her. My brother just goes, "It stands for See You Fuckers Downtown." And the girl's like, "Oh,
okay."
And I was like, "I'm going to make a song about that." And that's what happened.
People can think what they want. I ain't fucking a cow.
All right. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm somewhere between. I would say, obviously, I don't want to do it, but obviously, you don't want people to, think that you have.
I feel like it kind of depends on... Like, if it's the age we are now, my answer doesn't change. But if I'm, if I'm like 60 or something, I'd be like,
yeah,
whatever. I
mean, yeah.
Is my career going to get ruined because everyone just thinks I bang cows all the time?
Oh, I don't think it'll help.
That's no good.
That's a good point.
No, but it would just be so annoying. It'd be commented on every TikTok you post. It'd be like, yeah, that's a nice jet ski you bought there, but what about the cow, bud?
Cow fucker.
Man, that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, dude, it was one fucking cow. And I took her to prom.
Leave me alone. He was a nice guy. He was in a pasture. Here's another good would you rather. Spend a month in jail for weed or fail a drug test for a job?
Oh, I think that's easy. I mean, fail the drug test for the job. Yeah, I feel like if you go to jail for a month, you're probably losing that fucking job.
Yeah.
I feel like jail is just a part of life. I would rather not fail a test and get the job and just sit my month in jail with no one. No one needs to know my business.
See, I think I'm the kind of guy that
you can still work. You can still work when you're in jail.
Yeah. Doing what? Sweeping floors? Selling Lucy's?
Folding laundry?
Playing cribbage?
But yeah, that's a good point. Uno.
I honestly, other than a little drunk tank situation, I never went to jail.
I've never been in the big house. I've only been in there to pick up my good friend Tyler.
Yeah.
Shout out Tyler.
I definitely, when I was real young, I got a mishap and had to go in there for a little while. But not like a month or nothing.
So you're familiar with Dirty Mike and the boys.
Yeah.
I feel like Dave would be the guy that is kind of like the commissary guy that's got all the shit. You're the guy that you go to, the Morgan Freeman of that fucking prison movie.
Shawshank.
Shawshank, yeah.
Redemption.
You're the guy, if you need something, you go to Dave.
I've sat a month in jail, and I can tell you that. It's best to just get Skittles, because you can enjoy Skittles one at a time. You can really stretch those out. But one day, they gave me the Fritos Twists, and I was like, what's this? I didn't order this. And it was Don.
The honey barbecue?
This jailer, Don, didn't give a shit. He would serve as like stale potato chips for breakfast sometimes. It'd be like cornflakes and stale potato chips. Here's your breakfast, boys. Like, what the fuck is this, Don?
God. Fucking Don. Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Damn it, Don.
You know I'm going to get out one day, right? You know, it's like, come on.
But actually, I just went I wasn't like in prison. I went to county jail. Like, we literally had, every Sunday, we all got a whole pizza to ourselves for lunch. And then when we were done with our pizza, we got an ice cream sundae.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of white collar jail did you go to?
Okay, maybe we should just go to jail.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm thinking, no.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Dave is the one that's been there for a month.
Get the job.
I'm trusting you.
My one buddy used to, honestly, he, God bless him, he really never knew anything different, but he used to try to hype it up to me all the time. Like every time.
Jail, you got to do it.
It wasn't that you got to do it, but he'd catch himself in a full-blown, the way we were just talking about videos, he would explain shit to me. It was like, oh, you have no idea. Like, we were sitting there one time. He's like, no, I got this TV, right? And, like, not everyone has one, right? So, like, I got this TV. It's clear, so you can see everything in it. But, like, you know, I got this. No one else got one. So, we're sitting in there. We're watching football games. We're betting cigarettes. We're betting. And, he had this, like, gambling ring kind of going on because he's the only one, like, with this little mini TV. And damn. I was like the story was intriguing, but I'm like, bro, like the way you're hyping this up, it just like seems like this thing that I should be a part of. But at the same time, you're explaining jail. And then he's like, bro, you want to see the TV? And I was like, well, yeah. And like, I go to the other room and he's got it on the wall. It's like the size of a fucking 8x10 picture. It's like the only TV that, and it the framing of it was crystal clear.
Just watching the fucking Packers.
Yeah. Like, well, whatever they got to watch, they bet on it and shit. And I don't know. I always laugh because I'm like, bro, you're explaining jail.
That's not, I mean, honestly, it makes it sound kind of fun. I kind of want to try it now.
Yeah, it was hype. I kind of was like, I wish I would have documented his stories a little better. Maybe I could have used it as content.
I don't know. I think there's people that would definitely explain a much different experience to you. I think people have had some horror story experiences. I don't know always good there.
Yeah. What was the guy's name? The guy in, he's at one of the maximum security prisons that are around us. How many is there? Sandstone, Moose Lake, Rush City. Those are all maximum security, right?
I think so, yeah.
So there's one, I can't remember his name. I'm slipping it. Big dude, massive buff guy. He's known for just knocking dudes out and then sucking them off.
That's some real shit.
A double whammy to the ego.
I think he's in Stillwater Prison, actually.
Is that what it is?
That's what I heard.
Knocking him out. They call him like Big Larry or something. I know I'm fucking that up.
The rapper.
Big Larry.
Dude. The rapper in me had to make a rhyme as soon as you said that. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, the old knuck and suck.
The old knuck and suck.
There's a hat right there.
Imagine. Oh, God.
Imagine going to prison for something just dumb and you're already like, fuck this place, I shouldn't be in here. You end up just cocking off to the wrong dude. You get knocked out and you wake up and there's, oh, and he his thing is wearing lipstick, right?
Oh my God.
Yes, that is another. He gets the fun dip. Where it comes with a little stick and it's the sugar.
Yeah.
And he'll rub it over his lips first too. That's another part of it.
You wake up. They call it the sugar penis.
Oh,
you
know, God.
You wake up with like a sticky penis.
Because then you know what happened.
You got knocked out, and you're like, oh, dude,
he's like the kind of gay wet bandits, the sticky bandits. Like, everyone's got to have their calling card, Marv. Oh,
yeah. Everyone has their calling card.
God, I mean, just think about that, though. You come back to...
No.
And you feel... No.
I'm not even going to think
about it. I didn't even think about it.
No. Big Larry.
Wait.
I wish I knew his name.
Why y'all know him?
He's just a legend in Minnesota.
Really? And
my pants stick to me from my time that I did in prison.
Cody actually did have a little run in the drunk tank.
I've never been, but honestly, all this talk makes it sound a lot more fun. Not the Big Larry side, but.
I think there's like something to be said of like if you actually like, let's just hypothetically say for a second you had just a decent sized budget and nothing but time, it would be funny to make skit comedy about these type of ideas and these folklores and take it to the next level. Like you're in like a little jail scene and all of a sudden you're like who's your cellmate? And all of a sudden like doof.
Who'd be Big Larry?
Doof. He's coming down the fucking walkway and you're like, what the fuck? He comes in, you see the fun dip stick sticking out his mouth or whatever, and he's like, sup? And you're like, oh.
My day has come.
That door just closes. Oh, shit. You're like, oh no. Like then you don't take it any farther than that in the video, but like, you know, the story is in the podcast and all of a sudden here's this little skit that just comes around after. Yeah. Obviously it cuts before the shit gets real fun dipping.
It's like on Netflix. On Netflix, the cabinets of curiosities or whatever. It's just little short videos, little short stories. You don't wanna go too far.
No, because then I mean obviously
just a quick knuck and suck.
Yeah, I don't think Cody and I are going to finish the skit on that one. I think it's getting a little weird.
Also,
Larry always finishes.
Imagine, dude, what a shot to the ego. Not, you get knocked out, you wake up, pants on your ankles, and you're like, oh, shit, I know exactly what just happened.
Oh, my God.
That
sucks. And it's too late to have any fucking control over it. Like, it's too late. You're already, like, it's just like, oh, damn it.
everyone's stopping by your cell like, sorry, man. It happened to me last week.
Nothing we can do, bro.
Who's playing the cast? Who's the cast? I vote to be a guard that just purposely knows what's going on but negligently ignores it because I don't like the guy that's in the cell.
You're the candy hookup?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm like, hey, bro.
Tyler's got to play Larry just because he's got that dominating presence, you know, just doge coming down the hallway. So
how do we pitch this idea to you? Yeah, by the way, man, you're going to be this big dude that knocks people out and then sucks them off.
Larry's just
that's your character. Go.
He's just a super nice dude until he gets his fix.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Tyler's going to hear this. Maybe we just won't say anything. We'll just like, hey, Tyler, hey.
You down?
You know.
Like, you don't have to do nothing past like you basically enter the cell and video, you know, cut.
Nope.
Cut.
Method acting.
Yeah, no, he's like Shia LaBeouf, man. Like, he's fucking getting tatted before it. He gets them same cornrows he got in Mexico.
He's going to stay in character this whole time.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm the guy in the cell now.
Yeah.
Cody's finished recording, and he's like, oh, fuck, I never hit the button runner again.
Speaking of characters, sorry. When I think of characters and videos that you've made, I always think of the Black Male Girl Scout. I love that character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe your house wouldn't have gotten egged.
That was funny.
You would have bought a few more Thin Mints.
You know what's so funny about that? I used to sell cars, and a lot of those lines are actually real sales. Now, granted, they're, like, way dialed up from what it used to be, but, like, some of those are real, like, sales tactics that they would give us in, like, sales training to be a car salesman. So I was thinking in my head, like, who's the worst type of salesman? Like, who gets the worst reputation? Obviously car salesman. I'm going to use a lot of this information and just apply that. Like in the part when I'm like at our buddy's house and I'm like, if you quit smoking today, you would save whatever. Like that's a real sales tactic that they got us to use on people to buy a car. And they're like, that'll work, won't it? Like the psychology of like bobbing your head. Yes. They're more likely to say yes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those bits was real actual like sales tactics that they taught me in car sales training. Fucking bastards. Not falling for it.
Crooks.
But that was a fun video to make. We got to throw boxes at our friend Corbin's house, and that was fun. We actually partnered up with a real Girl Scout troop here in Pine City, and we sold them like 300 boxes of cookies that day or something like that because we were standing out on the side of the road, and we were in front of the Mexican place here in town. We stand out front of the road, and I had a sign that said, like, margaritas and Girl Scout cookies, and Tyler and I were dressed in skirts, you know?
Dude.
We got all these people to pull in, and then we did a little thing. I was like, whoever spends the most amount of money, we're giving away a cooler and a hat. And so, like, people would come and they'd buy, like, a whole case of cookies, you know? And then you'd write your name at the top, and then someone would up that, and then they'd write their name above that. Worked out good. So, shout out to Girl Scout.
Yeah, that's sweet that you did that. I seen at the Walmart the other day, this just kind of pissed me off, I'm not gonna lie. I seen just two moms and a table.
Was it cold?
Nah. Come on, man.
No excuses.
Yeah, dude. What do you mean? Like, we used to have to go door to door selling Christmas wreaths just to get a freaking, you know, just to go wrestle.
Are you guys
I didn't even want to wrestle.
Are you guys ever buying? I feel bad about it, but if they try to guilt me in there,
yeah.
99.9% of the time I'm probably not gonna buy. Salvation Army, the ringer guys, 0% of the time I will ever donate to that.
The worst I ever got it, I usually do try to buy it, but sometimes I hit them with, you know, I'm going to get you on the way out. And then
and then I go out the other door.
Yeah, yeah. You know the old bait and switch. But like, when I just quit chewing, I was like, I needed something. Like, I really didn't. They were like, you want some cookies? And I was like, yeah. I got like three of each, and I pounded them in 2 days straight. Like, I needed something so bad, and it was like, they kept saying, pick a sugar-free, healthy option. You know, I picked the worst thing ever, but I pounded them.
What's your go-to Girl Scout cookie?
Definitely the Samoa.
Oh, whoa.
he had to correct me a couple weeks ago.
They're Caramel Delights now.
Yeah, no, I guess they did change the names on all those, but yeah, definitely the coconut chocolate one that everybody knows is the fucking flame.
I guess it was racist. It was the reason why they changed it.
Yeah. I could see how that would be. No, I'm kidding. I can't.
I feel like I always get profiled when I'm walking into Walmart. You know, like, they'll let these skinny people pass, and all of a sudden the girls will be running up. Like, motherfucker, you got me again.
Do you buy it?
Oh, dude, if it's if it is the adults asking, never.
Yeah, right.
If
yeah.
it's one of the kids, I'm a sucker for it every
can't
time.
Say no.
And now that they take card, no. you can't even get away with the, oh, sorry, no they cash. They're like, oh, we actually can take your card right now.
It's- yep. They deliver Fuck. Now. Yes, not only do they take card now, they deliver.
What?
I literally got hit up on Facebook Messenger from a gal that lives in Grand Forks, North Dakota, whose daughter is now selling Girl Scouts. She just became that age where she's like, hey, she just started selling this year. Do you guys want any? I was like, oh, I don't know when we'll be up there next. Sorry. She's like, oh, no, we deliver. Sends me a link. I'm like, oh, fuck. I got no excuse now.
Oh, man.
Ordered them up. They were there in like 2 days.
It's like I only a matter of time. They're going to be sitting there like, we take crypto. We take whatever you got. You got no choice, dude.
Venmo, Cash App, PayPal me, bitch. You don't have any excuse.
You claim you have none of them. They're like, wow, you're really something else. You know, they insult you and you're like,
loser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't believe in that. Okay. How about you give us your shoe? Yeah. Trade us something. Do you have any cattle?
We'll just siphon a little gas. We'll be
good. Then we'll call it even.
All right. I got this stapler.
I got another one of these would you rather cards here. I think this is kind of a hard hitter.
Uh-oh.
This one's a little bit more of an in-depth thinking. Know how you die or when you die.
Oh,
fuck, that's tough.
How or when? I guess I'm gonna lead the one on this, and I'm gonna say when, because if it was how and it some reason ended up being something fucked up and you just had to live every day thinking about when that's gonna happen.
Right. That's exactly what I think.
But if it's when, I mean that would really, really suck. But it would also possibly, depending on the time frame it gave you, be like a Tim McGraw song.
Yeah. You'd ride a bull named Fu Manchu.
Yep.
2.7 seconds.
Yep.
But see, what if you find out what it is and it's something like you're going to die choking on water? Every day you're drinking water, you're like, fuck, is today the day?
Just drink honestly, that yeg.
If you know how, can you just not ever be around that or do that? Like, for example, you fall off a cliff. That's how you die. Okay, from now on, I'm only going to stay at sea level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, can you avoid it?
I'll give you an example of how you can't. And I'm going to base it off of Amazon Prime 2-star horror movies.
Okay.
You draw the card, you know, and it says, you got ate by a shark. And you're like, cool. I'm not going to go to Florida anymore. You know, I'm not going to hit the beach in Mexico. I'm going to stay at home. And then you watch a 1-star scary movie called House Shark. Mm. The shark.
Sharknado, even.
Sharknado. But you watch House Shark, you want to waste 2 hours of your time. The shark will get you in your house.
I don't have Prime, though.
Yeah. You know what they used to say? You know what we used to say? If you can't buy it, steal it.
True. When that movie Bird Box came out, or was that the name of it?
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock, Bird Box? It was like the math meme, and it was like Netflix trying to figure out how 7 million people have seen the movie when there's only 2.4 million accounts or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Dude, the fact that, I mean, they were well aware of that forever. It was going on since shortly after it was a disc company, you know?
Yeah.
To go back on that, it's like, dog, why you think everybody's here? You got to kind of just keep that rolling. And they took so long to take it away.
Hulu's trying to limit it on the live, where it's like, we had Hulu Live for a little bit and we shared it with my wife's parents. And every time we would log in, well, I shouldn't say every time because we don't have it anymore, but it would be like, you get one more change and then your location will permanently be set to this location. It's like, oh shit. Okay. So like we can't share this anymore, or like what's the deal here?
I'd have logged out quick, logged in, made sure I got that home base.
Yeah, then I get it.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
I honestly had to say, so when my brother was with this old lady, they had a joint Netflix and he gave it out to all of us. She was cool with it or whatever. But years later they part ways. And we're like a year later, me and Caroline are kind of sitting there thinking like, oh, there's a possibility one day we're just going to get the boot. You know, like we never did anything to you. Love you. But, you know, we're still on your Netflix account. Mm. And we kept using it. And I was talking to my brother. And I was like, I got to just vent something to you. You know, me and Caroline are still using her Netflix. And she hasn't bailed. He goes, shit, I am too. But I changed my name to, I want to say it was, he changed his name to Settings.
Oh,
because that's
brilliant.
So he knew that. She would like, I was like, I wondered what that was. It's like the same logo as like your name was, you know, mom, dad, whoever's got the Netflix account. and he changed it to settings and she never knew. And months later, she did take us out, but it was like 17 month run.
Damn, that.
Oh, that's good.
If you add that up, that's a good savings that you got there.
This monitor that we have in the studio here, this TV, I bought this TV for $50. And the guy that I got it from, his Netflix is still logged in on that thing, last I checked.
Nice.
So I got free Netflix on this
and
TV.
And do you know him?
Yeah, I do know him.
Yeah. It would be sweet. Be like, oh, what's that? And the little Dicky song, like, got logins from Netflix from my cousin Greg. Thanks, Greg.
Gotta say that, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's just a little too cheap to buy the accounts yourself. Also, they add up. You're getting fucking expensive.
Dude, I'm all about that. Save that money.
Okay, would you rather hear, call your first love and tell them you love them, or have very obviously hideous kids?
Oh, dude, these ones suck. That one's so easy. Yeah.
Call your first love?
Of course. You get it over with, done.
Yeah.
You have ugly kids for the rest of your life.
Have ugly kids.
Yeah, that's
no. No, don't want to have ugly kids.
Okay. Let me find it.
It'd be selfish of me to not just make that phone call.
Yes. Get over the embarrassment.
It'd be selfish to just go with the ugly kids.
And it says obviously hideous. It's like I can't even imagine what that would be.
Oh man, what do you think it is?
What if my first love was Julia Roberts?
Really?
Then you're winning.
Give her a phone call.
She just see if she answers.
It's just worth the call.
Hey, got your number from Clooney.
Hey, Julia. Hey, Julia, what's up?
What up?
What's up, baby girl?
What up, Jay?
I think a lot of people know that smile. I sure do.
I was obsessed with her. My mom used to watch all of her videos when I was a kid, and I was just like, I don't know what it was. I still remember. It was just in love. What's going on?
Do you guys remember that was your first TV show love?
Yeah.
TV love?
I think I had a couple, you know, Topanga.
I was going to say Topanga is definitely up there.
Yeah.
Mine was Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Good one.
Friends.
Yep. I would agree with that. I would say Jennifer Aniston's definitely one of my first TV crushes.
I think
she was always nipping too. So I was like, fuck.
Julia Roberts though, for sure was one that I remember. And then you guys are Minnesota boys through and through. So if you don't know this movie, kind of going to be pissed.
Fuck.
Do you know the movie Little Big League?
Oh, fuck. It sounds really familiar. Rings a bell.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay, well, in the 90s, this movie came out about this kid that basically inherits the Minnesota Twins, and he gets to now start living the life of a pro baseball owner because his grandpa died, and he starts touring with the baseball team, and one night he's up in his hotel room, and you get like this little glimpse, like – he goes and he gets his first night alone in the hotel room, and he's going through the channel changer, and he gets on that old, you know, skin flicks that you can order or whatever. And it's like, he orders it and it's like this doctor, and he's like, they come and they're like, oh, he's like, why are you still working here, ladies? And they're like, oh, you've been working so hard and we just wanted to help you. And they like undo their nurse outfits and they got just like their bra and panties on. And that's basically where it cuts. And this kid's like eyes are wide open, and then the next day he gets scolded. They're like, "You spent $122 watching night nurses from Jersey last night," and he found out for the first time that the shit you order, they find out. It's a classic, classic movie, but it takes place in the Minnesota Twins. So yeah, I figured you might know.
Just more of a Mighty Ducks guy.
Yeah, that's that's way better movie, I promise. But
speaking of Mighty Ducks, Mickey's Diner where they eat at in Minneapolis just shut down.
Really? I didn't know that.
I heard shut that too. Down. That's a shame.
Sucks. What a great place. Just a dungeon of a diner.
Have you ever actually been there?
Yeah, it's really good food. It's the most greasy food that I've been at a diner before. But you know they're cooking on like a 20-year-old cast iron flat top. I mean, the food tasted phenomenal, but everything was like coated in butter, coated in grease.
The milkshakes there, flame.
Were.
I wish I could say I'm going to stop there.
Oh, my God. Like were. That's like the commercial where the guy comes up and rips that sticker off the back of that girl's vehicle.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Really?
I looked up Little Big League, the cover. I remember seeing that. I know for a fact my family had that on VHS, but I don't think I ever saw it. Good to know. Minnesota Twins, shout out. Here's a good debate. If we were in a horror movie, which one of us would die first?
I'm just going to take it. I think I would. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm fucked. I don't really know if there's any way else to look at it. I'm going to be the first to be scared because I get scared very easily. And then I'm going to try to separate myself, and I'm not very fast, so I'm done.
Okay. I'm not gonna argue with that.
I'd like to see a movie that Sam's the only one that makes it out alive. Mm-hmm. Like somehow you peg him right out the gate to be the guy that goes down, resilient. Like he hides at first, and it gets him out of the first one, and then you know like progressively, and then all of a sudden he outsmarts the situation, and then he walks out the end like, and then he gets taken like on the new. Have you seen don't ever watch the newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you haven't seen it, it's a terrible, terrible movie.
Really?
Yeah, everything about it. Like, they try to make it super new wave. So, like, there's a part where, like, he comes on a school bus and everybody's got their cell phone on him. And he, like, walks down the bus with his chainsaw. But since I really don't want y'all to watch it, I'm literally going to ruin it for you. In the end, the only person that survives is, like, it's so dumb. Like, they clearly just killed him. And then they're walking away, and it's like the sun finally comes out, and then he comes out of nowhere and kills the person. And then it's just over.
Damn.
It's like...
That kind of sucks.
As they just annihilated him. Like he is donezo. You ain't coming back from that. They basically sink him in the water as he's in half, and he comes back. It makes no sense.
Fuck that
they're
movie.
They're setting it up.
Terrible movie.
For a friggin' 20th one or whatever.
But you know what is a good movie? The Pick of Destiny. Tenacious D. Have you ever seen that?
You had that in your pocket?
Well, yeah.
That's great.
If you're the only person that owns the Pick of Destiny or you're the person that possesses it, you have it on you at all times.
Where did you obtain that?
Amazon.
Amazon.
One of one.
I got it from the Rock and Roll University.
The Rock and Roll University?
Have you watched the movie?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Tenacious D as a band itself is pretty fire.
Oh, yeah, they're fire. Undeniably one of the most underrated rock bands of all time, but the Pick of Destiny is one of the best like stoner movies I think ever created, and it's kind of a musical.
Yeah, it is kind of a musical. I didn't think of that.
Like, they present it in a way where it doesn't feel like a musical, but clearly it is because every song on the album is in the movie, and they bust out in song every once in a while.
How about Jack Black's School of Rock?
Love it.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of anything Jack Black's in.
Me too.
Like, I was just watching the new Jumanjis.
Yeah.
Which you'd think it'd be horrible because the original's so good. Fuck, I was laughing the whole time. Jack Black, Kevin Hart, you can't really go wrong.
Yeah. That one part when Kevin Hart and The Rock switch places, and he's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, what's wrong with me? I'm missing the second half of my body.
It's so funny. Those two as a duo, it's just all-time comedy classic.
Yeah, they're good together.
Well, here's one thing Sam and I were talking about prior to us recording and you guys getting here, but I think we can all agree that stoners are some of the most engineering-inclined people on the face of this earth.
Agreed.
And some of the stuff that you use and make in order to smoke it, in order to consume it, is extremely elaborate. Do you guys know what the craziest thing that you've ever smoked out of is?
Craziest.
The weirdest thing I've ever smoked out of is a 2x4, definitely.
What?
Dude, it's
hollowed out?
It's pretty simple. It's actually the first thing I ever smoked out of. You just drilled a hole down the top. Well, first you got to do your straight through because it was about this long.
Oh, okay.
And one hole all the way through, one down until you meet. You got the choke. You pack up top. It worked. It got the job done.
Damn, I never even considered that.
I didn't even smoke out of a real piece for probably like 6 months. Like me and my buddies took pride, and we had so many different bongs, so many different sizes. I remember my buddy had this fork that was like extended. So we broke it off so we could make a stem out of that, which extended out. Dude, we were serious about it. We made some cool shit.
Damn, that's actually sweet. I have nothing really crazy. That that Arizona iced tea thing with the trumpet thing on the side, it's probably my craziest, but obviously first thing that comes to my mind is apples.
Oh yeah.
Fruit.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of fruit.
Yeah.
You're not a real stoner if you've never done that.
Right. I haven't personally seen it, but I've seen a lot of people with watermelons.
Full
watermelon.
That's a bit excessive, but I can see it tasting flame.
Yeah, I can see it.
People do just get into some wild shit. Like, it's not even that, like, that's the only thing laying around. It's just, like, something about the thought of that you're about to smoke. You're like, what kind of weird shit can we get into? Like, maybe I'll make a pipe out of this. And the deeper you go into it, the weirder shit that you make, I guess.
Have you guys ever done a gravity bong?
Oh, yeah.
That shit's crazy.
Like in you know, like, the people be like, oh, I can't believe you used this plastic thing with heat or whatever. Like, it'll heat up. Like, this is definitely probably did some wear and tear on my brain.
Yeah.
But we made a gravity bong in college that for, like, probably, like, the whole year. Maybe it switched out twice of what 2 liter it was made out of. And the cap, you know, it was the cap, and then you, like, melted a socket into it, and that was, like, the top of it.
Yeah.
It was, like, it clearly was starting to heat the plastic up at some point. It was, like, stained, like, you know, and then we just kept rocking it, like, nonstop. Like, people would stop by to use it. Like, we were the only one in town that could ever have it. Like, seriously, these kids would stop by from the dorms and shit. They'd be like, careful with that grab bomb, bro. I was like, be my guest, as long as you give me one, because, you know.
Was it it was a Gatorade bottle, you said?
No, it was that we used to do, like, a 2 liter. It was like a Sprite bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do it two different ways. I don't know if you ever made, like, the waterfall version, or you make, like, you can either do it into water, or you can make one that fills up with water.
Yep.
And then drain it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for my dad. His socket set has to be missing at least 10 sockets.
Oh, my God.
No shame. I would just go be like, oh, that's a good size.
Later on in life, you realize, like, how insanely annoying that is.
Oh,
like,
horrible.
Like, we never gave a shit what one you grabbed either. You grab a couple probably that were, like, the most needed ones.
Yeah.
Missing three sockets from a guy that knows he put every single one back in alphabetical order, numerical order. He knows what he's doing. You're over there just grabbing one, never bringing it back.
Mixing metric with imperial.
I've no idea.
I wouldn't have never been dumb enough to bring it back. Put it back on there.
It's all fucked up.
Then he knows what's going on.
It's clearly dried up oil, Dad.
Oh, one time my dad. So I had this crazy thing in high school where I just really wanted to steal one of the glass beakers and make a bong out of it from science class. So I stole one finally. I put it in my backpack. I had it in my trunk for a while. And one day my dad was like, open your trunk. I want to see if whatever's in there. He had to go in my trunk. He comes back and he's like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, what the fuck? Are you smoking meth? I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It probably did look like you were, like, Heisenberg doing shit.
Full on chemist.
Like, kit. Sweet. At least I get to tell him it's only weed now.
Bro, that just brought back the craziest memory. I did the same thing with, like, a test tube. And I heated at the bottom. It gets all black. My mom thought I was in much deeper shit than I was.
Oh, you did it. Tried doing it with weed.
Yeah, but because it's kind of like a vaporizer,
like
kind of
freebase.
Kind of. I guess that's what you're. I mean, when
free
you're
basing marijuana.
When you're young, you don't know. Like,
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's not. it shouldn't be. But I'm talking. We're back to the engineering thing.
Yeah.
In order to properly engineer, you got to have some failures, right? Like that one didn't work. You know, there's like the 6-footer definitely worked. You know, like you make these different contraptions. Some work better than others. But I forgot that ever happened until you told that story.
Free base and shoot, dude, walk us through that. How did that go? What Diane was like, what the fuck is this?
So I think, I don't remember what I saw it on. And I literally, like, for good reason, blacked that memory out. But, like, I got a test tube where you got, like, a cork and you ran, like, a hose through it. And you would, like, heat the weed up. And I thought I was, like, vaporizing it. Like it was basically like the poor man's vaporizer. That's kind of how vaporizers work.
Dude, that's fucked
kind
up.
Of. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not
kind
really.
Kind of, yeah, though.
If you think of how you normally smoke, it's not that fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, it just because it looks weird doesn't mean you're heating the damn weed up.
True. Did it work?
No, it didn't. I mean, it did. Don't get me wrong. It did, but not really.
Dave calls Cap.
I want to know what Dave thinks about this story.
What's the worst thing that you've ever freebased? I'm just kidding. Have you ever tried freebasing weed?
I've, let me think. I've done, like, the pop can bong and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Scrape the paint off, put a couple holes in there.
Holes, yeah.
Dude, that had to have just. Right,
you scrape the paint off?
Dude, I had some older stoners that gave me that tip. It's like, no, you can't smoke the paint.
Did you?
Scrape that off with the knife quick?
See, I always thought it wasn't the paint. It was the aluminum that was the problem.
Well, it's both. Well. Don't you think?
Best of both worlds, I guess. What do you want? Lung disease or brain cancer? You pick.
Oh, we smoked out of a lot of pop cans, you know, beer cans, Gatorade, not Gatorade.
Mm. Oh, this just brought me back. I'm at my buddy's house. I had never, first time I'd ever smoked out of a gravity bong. It was a Powerade. There was still Powerade in the bottle. And we ended up taking turns and finishing and drinking the Gatorade. No, it was just a regular bong. With Gatorade as the water.
I was going to say, like, how the fuck did you because pull that off with the gravity?
We passed around the Gatorade or Powerade, blue Powerade, after the fact, and we all shared it and drank it because
that's fucking disgusting.
We had heard that it gets you more fucked up.
No. What?
I don't know if it did or not. I was fucked up.
So you put, I got to break. You put Powerade in a bong.
No, we just literally just melted. I want to say it was a pen. Like, we haul, those cheap pens. You just take out the ends.
Zebra pen.
Basically zebra pen, yeah. Melted into there so that part of it's sticking into the Powerade, and then just had the top of it. Boom. It was
that's fucking gross.
Quick and dirty, and then then we took turns drinking the Powerade.
Dude, I had a buddy, though, that was like his party trick, is he would slam bong water.
Oh, that's a party trick?
It impresses people. I still remember it to
this
day.
Dave, was this stuff going on at your parties?
No, we were not cool with weed at our parties.
Yeah, okay.
I was in high school.
You know what's I know you're not from River Falls. I know you're not, but when we used to go to some other high school parties, it was not only frowned upon. Some of these like country parties we'd go to, it was like you get your fucking ass kicked. Like,
really?
God forbid you were the kid, and I know a kid that did it once. Like, you showed up with the old like tie-dyed Bob Marley shirt or something, let these kids know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're chewing Copenhagen and like, you know, wearing cowboy boots, like listening to freaking Neil McCoy, man. They don't want this stoner ass there. I heard one kid was ripping a bong out back at one of these barn parties, and he got the old bong.
Really?
Right across the dome piece.
I guess.
This
I don't want that shit at my party.
I can relate to that for sure. Because like there were certain places where I knew obviously was going to be accepted, and then there were somewhere you wouldn't dare bring weed to.
It's not a bad point.
We've had party drama because of it. You know, this is like 20 years ago now, probably.
So they weren't cool with it.
But we weren't cool with it. We were having a party and someone tried selling some weed to different people. And we were a bunch of farm kid hicks hanging out in a field.
Who the hell bring that weed shit?
Get this weed shit out of there. And there was some drama involved because of it.
Yeah.
I think the internet made that a lot more acceptable.
Well, and it being decriminalized. Like for me growing up, while I was in high school, it was always decriminalized. So that makes a huge difference when all you get is a little ticket and you're on your way.
You know what? I personally, like, this is as someone who, even in the times of my life when I can't participate, whether it's for work or whatever's going on, I'm always a stark advocate for it. I always will be. I think the giant pivotal moment when things started to shift, it was like my second year in college. Wiz Khalifa, in my opinion, single-handedly brought, like, smoking weed to the complete mainstream. He's doing it in every video. His songs are about it. Yeah. Now, was there people doing it before? The Willie Nelsons of the world? Yeah. Yes, but it ain't in the music video. Out of nowhere, I see these high school kids. They're like, yeah, man, we smoke J's and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, kid? I was like, when I was in high school, if you even mentioned to the wrong person that you smoked, like you were outed. Like,
right.
Like, dude, you do what?
Cops are showing up.
Dude, it was bad. Like, you really had to know who was cool with it and who wasn't. I mean, there was the kids that made it blatantly obvious. They didn't care if they got expelled the next day. But there was other people that was like...
It's crazy.
And now, especially with sports, you know, that really changes things a lot.
Sports was huge. And now we're literally just sitting here consuming it
on for people to watch.
We are of age. We are experienced.
It's legal.
It's fucking legal,
man. This is completely legal.
This is freedom.
It's wild. God bless America.
And don't you think you should be able to consume THC with your buddies on a microphone above a pizza parlor in Pine City if you fucking want?
You're out in the location. You're doxing us right now.
Pine City, North Dakota, baby. If you ain't heard of it, you didn't know.
Pine City, New York.
One way that I look at it, too, is, you know, you being blue collar, I'm sure you knew guys that after work, they drink a case of beer, get up in the morning, go to work, they're still a little drunk. You know, it's just... Some of these hardcore alcoholic guys, like, that's not the employee I want. I want the guy that goes home, right, smokes a joint, passes out early, and he's ready to rip in the morning.
Oh, dude, for sure. And I will say this, like, as a person in construction, like, in some pretty dangerous construction, when I'm doing it, I don't think anybody should be working under the influence of anything.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be working next to anyone under the influence. But if you think about what you do at home, alcohol has much more of a residual effect on a person. If you were to smoke at home that night and you go to work in the morning, the effect on you is, if there is any, so minimal. Where alcohol, if you didn't cut yourself off too early, you're there. It is definitely, there's definitely people I've worked next to that it stops affecting them around noon, and you can tell by their attitude.
Yep. For sure.
I know guys that have gotten D-dubs on the way to work.
Oh, yeah. And that's insane. And but one, the difference is one is just glamorized, and then the other one is like on its way from being still taboo. You know what I mean?
Oh, just like avocados. Their media makes them sexy.
Dude, I didn't even think I would see a day when I was even willing to sit and talk about it like this. Like where I like vividly know like this is going to go somewhere in the internet world. Because when I was younger, I remember one time I thought about this on the way here. I still don't feel bad about this because the homie card is worth everything no matter what. But in high school, like I said, it wasn't, you couldn't tell some people, you know, and my buddy that kind of got me into it, I told him, I said, man, you know, like you announce to everyone that you do it. Like, don't tie me into this. Don't tell the girls we're hanging out with. Don't tell nobody. If it happens, it happens. And one day he did. And I was just pissed at him for like 2 or 3 days. And he was like, bro, what's it matter, bro? It's just smoking. And I was like, it matters because I told you not to tell them. And they gave me the big old grill session, and they made it seem like I was throwing my life down the tubes. And like, I'm not kidding. Like they pulled me aside, and I was like, looking back, what a pointless fucking scenario. Like for real. Like, like they were telling me like, dude, if you don't change your ways, you know where you're going to end up, you know, there with fucking Fun Dip Eddie.
I remember a certain point in my life being like, I'll never smoke weed.
Ever.
Yeah.
People that smoke weed are pieces of shit.
Losers.
Every day. I mean, every fucking day.
Just some are, you know? Some.
Yeah.
True.
It's just like anything, though. Yeah. There's some crazy alcoholics that are just not functioning.
Well, I know plenty of them.
Heard that.
You know, I can't really say for smoking weed, but I can remember always being interested in smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
I remember them bringing in a dummy to like our fifth grade classroom that inhaled a cigarette in the classroom through a filter. And then they like showed us how much tar was in the filter.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm in there being like, this smells amazing. Like, I want to smoke one of these cigarettes.
Oh my God.
And that was when I was like 10 years old, probably.
That's crazy.
So that's when I had my first cigarette because they made me interested in it.
Yeah.
They brought it into the classroom. I was like, this smells good. I want to do that. I've seen my uncle smoke a cigarette. Yeah. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah, my dad smoked the same thing. I'm like, fuck, that shit looks cool.
My parents didn't, but my dad's dad did. So I'm sure my dad probably hates smoking. My grandpa smoked.
Is it kind of weird that like smoking has become a little bit unsexy?
It is
a little like different. Cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah. It has kind of
the idea. It's fallen off. The idea is kind of different now.
Yeah. It should be. I'm sorry, but it should be like the whole like presenting cigarettes as sexy was a completely planned ad campaign. Like that was important for them to give that illusion that like foot against the wall, leather jacket. Yeah. You don't know a motherfucker like me, son. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm proud to say I've never smoked one, but I'll tell you this. I've seen some people in pictures that it's like, it kind of makes me want to smoke a cigarette.
You've never smoked one cigarette?
The only thing that I've ever done cigarette-wise is every once in a blue moon in my life, like somebody would be like, Trav's never smoked a cigarette, and I've had one in my mouth. Like I've taken one out and held it in my mouth for a while to act like I am, and no.
Damn, dude, but that's a flex.
But it's a flex, but I also, like, I chewed for probably 12 years before I quit chewing, so I do not want to, like, for one vice that you were, way to dodge that one, I went right balls deep into the other one.
God, I'm like, I didn't realize how much of a piece of shit I was. I was in third grade. Me and my buddy, shout out Scrat, we stole a couple of cigarettes from my dad, went up behind the shed and tried it out.
Okay, so when I was younger, there was a couple scenarios where the neighborhood kids tried to get me to smoke a cigarette, and I did do the old mouth trick, you know, the old hold it in, you know, take the tiniest little hit, just enough to make the cherry go, and you got it in,
yep.
You hold it right in your mouth. I was not smoking the cigarette.
Yeah, and I didn't understand the inhale process of it.
I mean, I'm not third grade, but I had friends that I remember the girls in my grade scolding, like, smoking cigarettes, huh? Like, and I just remember this was, I thought it was a normal conversation. I thought that this was like, yeah, we're old. We grown. But no, my mom actually, bless her heart, she told me if I made it to 16 and didn't smoke a cigarette, she would buy me a car. And then I never smoked a cigarette. I never got the car, but like, it was like a total working tactic.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I believe that. Well, I mean, I smoked cigarettes from like 16 to 18-ish. As soon as I could drive, I had someone that was buying me cigarettes. Marlboro Blacks.
I had so many friends smoking in high school. Like it didn't matter. If every day you had to have someone buying them for you, then I was like, it just seemed like a lot. And I think sports made me not want to.
Yeah, it was just like, it was kind of like the sexy thing. I just thought it was cool.
I kind of like smoking cigarettes. I still kind of do. Smoking pot daily has really made my cigarette smoking decline.
Yeah.
But, like, there's still certain situations, not usually so much driving, but sometimes, but especially, like, crowded room in a bar, and you kind of look around, and you ain't got no one to talk to, step outside and have a cigarette, and just lean on the railing, and listen to the band, and maybe talk to one other smoker. There's certain times where I just love it. Or, like, the early morning when you've just raged all night and it's like you're up and outside earlier than you normally are because you're trying to get home or trying to get somewhere and you light that first cigarette up in the morning and that smoke just kind of tickles your face. and it literally, like, there's certain times where I just, like, I love smoking cigarettes.
I'm not going to oppose that at all. I think you're completely right. But that for me, that's cigars.
But then I will say, too, that the idea of it is a million times better than reality.
Yep.
Even for me, as someone that loves smoking cigarettes, even for me, I'll say that, like, when I get done with one, I'm usually not like, I'm really happy I had that. No, it's the opposite. I hate the feelings that it gives me. Like,
the last, I'm going to say, you know, 50 times probably that I've had a cigarette, the next morning is when I'm like, well, I hate myself for doing that.
Oh, one time, I haven't smoked a cigarette, but I have smoked a cigar. And when, like, you're like, one time we were playing Beersby, you know, like beer frisbee, and my buddy gave me this big ass cigar, and I don't know, I just kept smoking on it, just kept throwing the frisbee, and like pretty soon, like, I felt like the earth was flipping upside, like it had me all fucked up. Like, I feel like smoking a cigarette would be the most crazy. Like, I feel like I would smoke one and be like, I'm never doing that again.
Oh, it would put you on your ass. Like, that first hit of a cigarette is, it's a pretty wild experience.
I suppose it was like the first time chewing. I remember when I first... Well,
pretty similar.
My brother actually tells the story better than me. The first chew I ever took, this kid, basically, like, this is probably not just a Prescott thing, but, you know, the older kids, they fucking like to train the younger kids in. Like, when I was in high school, like, you gonna stick around with me, you're gonna learn how to party, or you're gonna learn how to do what it's like when you get to high school. And you just did what the fuck they told you if you ever wanted to be somebody. I didn't have no older siblings, so like,
you thought it was cool as fuck.
Yeah, we got done with football one day, a homeboy pulls up to me in this truck and he goes, Trav, get in, we're chewing. And I was like,
we're going chewing.
Yeah, we're going chewing. And I'm like, all right, get in. Gives me like this, just hands me this Kodiak like mint. And then he's like, just take a big old mouse. And I was like, a mouse? And he was like, yeah, big old mouse. And I was like, oh, he take a big ass one and puts it in. So I didn't do what he did, but I kind of tried to match it, put it in. I kept it in as long as I could, and I kept my composure during the ride the whole time. Although it was like the best 7 minutes of my life, followed by like, I wanted to get out that truck. He drops me off at my mom's house. I walk straight upstairs, feeling like hell. Me and my brother were in bunk beds till we basically graduated. I come in there and he said, this is what you said. You came into the room, went onto the bed face first, and said, Colton, when you get to high school, don't ever fucking chew. And then you pass out. And I was like, he was like, were you drunk? I was like, no, that's literally what it felt like to chew tobacco for the first time. It's how crazy. You go back for round two, I don't know, but I'm assuming it's the same as cigarettes. Like, you feel like shit when you do it, but you still go back.
It's just something about it. It just like makes you want to try it again.
That dopamine hit, that nicotine, you know, it's so addictive. It's so addictive.
Dude,
it's
they like were so the right in school when they're like, you will get addicted.
Yeah. I had a hard time shaking, like, the chew. Like, when I finally came to the grips when I was like, I'm quitting this, I pulled it off. But
how long have you been off the piss now?
Like 400 days.
Damn. What do you think is the best way to kick it? Like, what are some things that you did to, like, negate that feeling? Like, oh, I need a dip right now.
Well, like, the Caroline having her there as, like, a support system. Like, we came with a game plan. Like, it took me forever to actually do it. I was going to quit in 2018, 2019. Like, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then when I finally made up my mind, that was a huge thing. Like, I'm quitting. Like, this is done. Quit. Cold turkey. Don't do no freaking Zins or no freaking, like, vaping or, like, all of those things will give you different vices or keep you hanging on too long.
You're just addicted to that.
Go through the hell week. It is a shitty ass, like, your brain is all over the place. You're thinking, it's just, like, begging you to go back the whole time. Once you get through that, things get easier. But I had sunflower seeds. I had, like I said, Girl Scout cookies. Probably shouldn't have had that one, but I did. Like, toothpicks, like, anything to, like, keep you, you know, orally, like, kind of fixated there or whatever.
Altoids. And, I remember your Altoids.
Oh, yeah, dude. Me and him were at Flanders one time, and I piss-pounded a whole fucking tin of Altoids in one sitting. I was like, sorry, bro, this is one of the first times I've got drunk since I quit chewing.
That's the worst. That's the absolute worst. Mine, for me, was golfing. Golfing, I'm always chewing, or used to.
Yeah.
And I quit chewing right at the end of last golf season, and I haven't chewed since. And that was the hardest thing for me, is, like, drinking, and then I'm like, oh, my God, all I want to do is put in a chew right now. That I just want to get that instant little relief. Can't have it.
I never had the stomach for it. I wish I could just keep a dip in. But I still like to chew, like, if I go fishing up north, fishing weekend or something, I'll buy a tin sometimes. But I never had the stomach for it, and it always stopped me from ever continuing to chew.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Like, it's crazy. I'm on the other side. You're addicted, and you wish you could just stop, and now you're battling it, and now you're beyond that, and you're like, it's been over a year now, correct?
Yeah.
And so it's been a while. I wish I could stomach it long enough to even get addicted, but I can't.
Oh, God. It literally, in my opinion, like, the I'll see someone comment on my videos every once in a while when I make a video, like, talking about quitting. It's literally, like, me, like, basically trying to keep myself accountable, and I know it's going to help some people. I've got multiple messages from people helping, but I'll always have, like, one person that'll say, I take one dip once a year at, you know, deer camp or something. And I'm like, look, Dale, if you're literally doing that, fuck yeah. I really don't think if I went and took a dip right now, I don't think I'd enjoy it, but I don't think that I would go on some crazy dip tear and all of a sudden I'm just chewing like a fucking fish again. It's like, oh, he's back on the sauce. But, like, I feel compelled to the number now because it's what I wanted to do. And I, like, if there was a special occasion that I know would just be awesome to take a dip, I still wouldn't, because I realize it would be just worthless.
Okay, what was your favorite chew?
Well, I don't know if it was my favorite chew, because I chewed a little bit of everything, but my go-to that I bought for basically 9 of the 12 years was Grizzly Wintergreen.
Okay.
Either long cut or the pouches. I called it my indoors and my outdoors.
So let's say, you know, Wisconsin rifle season.
Yeah.
You shoot the biggest 12-point buck you could ever imagine shooting. You're just standing over your kill. It's the best moment of your life. Your buddy reaches over. He's got a fresh tin of Grizzly Wintergreen. Still wouldn't go for it?
No. Like, not only do I not want to go, like, get the fucking spins, like, trying to drag a deer back, but, like, it no longer holds, like, that, like, victorious feeling in me. Like I totally would bust out the shoddy and fucking do a Bush Light shotgun and be like, get this on TikTok, or, you know, light up a dinger. Shit, I'd rather eat the deer heart right out the thing than take a grizzly wintergreen.
That's a good point you make there, where like you got your win, you got the buck, but then you're losing because then you gave up on the whole chew thing. So you kind of have that ride of emotion.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of feel compelled to the number now, like not by anyone else's standard. I just feel like if I did, I would be like, well, now it's fucking day one, right back at it. Like I would feel like I have to start over.
Fuck you, like Macklemore.
Yeah,
like,
but
relapsing.
Yeah, but like I also don't want to make it seem like I think I did a damn good job. Like when I quit. I don't want to hype it up like it was like crack or something. Like, yeah, it sucks quitting nicotine. But like when I quit, it was like 3 days of agitation, brain fog, call it like 2 weeks to a month of like really having to convince yourself that this is worth it. I think the TikTok, like holding yourself accountable and going live and talking about it really helped me. But after like a month, I mean, I will say I was using, the alternative that I really helped with the keeping a chew in was the grinds coffee pouches.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just coffee.
Yep.
And they make other ones that are like alternatives that aren't that, but man,
I had some CBD ones.
Yeah. The Canna dips.
Yeah. Canna dips.
Yeah. Those are good.
Yep. That's I mean, I didn't really notice anything, but they taste good.
I want to say, for anybody on social media that ever like hooked me up when I fucking needed them, I wish there was a reason for me to continue using a chew alternative, because I don't even use those anymore. But when I was in Texas, I was like a week and a half deep, maybe 2 weeks off the chew. And I should have brought like a barrel of these grinds down with me just in case I needed them, but I didn't. And they had them at no gas stations, no nothing. And Canna Dips hit me up. I was going live talking about the shit and they hit me up and they were like, what's the address to the man camp that you're at in West Texas? And they freaking overnighted me a box.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And I opened the box up and I did it. Like I made a video about this. It got to 70,000 views in like 3 minutes. And then they took it down for controlled substances because it was CBD. Pissed me off because they were stoked about it. I was stoked. But opened the box. It was like every flavor, a straight roll, five cans, like 5 rolls, probably like 2 t-shirts, 3 hats, some air fresheners. And I was like,
so sick.
That's fucking awesome.
I wish I could. I wear the t-shirt all the time, but I'm like, I wish I could be more loyal to y'all, but I don't even have a need to want the alternative anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm not just going to go throw in a CBD pouch because I feel like I'm glad that I shook even wanting to throw any kind of dip in.
I need to chill out. I'm going to go put in a CBD pouch right now.
You guys ever accidentally drink a spitter? That ever happened to you?
Ashtray. I drank ashtray before.
Oh, fuck. How does that end up happening?
Well, it's like you're ashing in a beer can. There's beer cans all over the table. You pick up the wrong one.
I'm picturing like the clear ashtray.
It wasn't like a hotel ashtray.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything but cup party.
Honestly, I thought it was like a cinnamon roll. No, I get it. Like, so like people are ashing in a can.
Yeah, like when they're ashing in a beer can and you just grab the wrong can, that kind of thing. I've done that where I've swallowed ash and it's like, that's gross. But I think a spitter is 1,000 times worse.
Oh, I drank my dad's.
It has to be.
That's the worst moment ever.
I never did, but I saw one and caused one.
Ooh, like, so you had someone drink your spitter.
Yeah.
Oof.
I also have. When I was a kid, I used to chew and spit in McDonald's cups because I like spitting into the straw. Really inconspicuous. It looked like you were drinking from it.
It seems hard.
You just like spit it right into the straw. Someone drank out of that straw in my car.
Oh, I bet.
They threw up, but wasn't in my car.
See, he's evil. I guarantee you let them
drink. No, I did not. I would never. I would never let anyone drink it. Dude, unless I didn't like them.
The one kid that we saw that did it right in front of us. It was actually at a party. It's the same kid that was hyping up Jill. And he was literally so hammered. It was not him. It was this kid. And he was literally talking smack to everyone in the party. I love the kid, but when he got drunk, it was not fun. And he picks up this beer And this one kid's like, hey. And he's trying to tell him it's a spitter. And he's like, think I can't drink this beer? And he's like, I'm not saying no, you can't. I'm telling you, you don't do it. And this kid's like, drink whatever beer I want. Slugs it. Oh. And it wasn't a burp. You heard these loud, like from his stomach. And I had to walk away. I don't really like to see shit like that. You know, I had to walk away. I heard him go in the bathroom, and it was a violent, I don't know, 30 minutes for him. But this one kid was holding on to that can, spitting into it for the whole night, partying. Gross. And, yeah, the kid picked it up. God, that's – do it in a clear bottle or something, you know what I mean? Yeah, like something that – like do the courtesy squeeze. Like, who wants that beer? Like, if you pick up the squeeze – beer.
That's a good point. I never thought of the courtesy squeeze.
If you pick up the squeezed beer and just go, I'm going to drink this.
That's your fault.
That's you got worse problem.
Well, that's why they have those mud jugs.
Yeah.
You know, those like balls that have like a funnel on the top so it can't spill either, you know. Spittoon. You know. Yeah, like a mobile spittoon basically.
I seen that and they got don't get me wrong, like I like the ingenuity that comes off of this, but I can't wrap it, but they got the spitter where it's got the rollout spot for your can and everything. And
yep.
Well, day late and a dollar short.
That's accessories. It's all about accessories.
I also think that the one aspect that I probably was my driving force was saving money. It's a lot of money saved. It says as of right now, I'm at about 4 G's.
Damn.
4 G's saved. I mean, you're damn right I thought of that when I booked that trip to Mexico. I was like, this is funded on non-chew money. Like,
that's crazy.
Didn't spend it.
So do you put, you know, X amount in an account as if you're buying it?
No.
No?
No.
You just thought in your head, like, yeah, I'm just not spending it.
Well, I have a app that says, like, you know, this is how many cans you haven't chewed. This is how much money you would have spent at this point. And there's a lot of people I've seen that say, oh, yeah, this doesn't, like, you really noticed that you saved any money? I personally feel like I did going all summer and not, I was buying a tin a day.
Damn.
No doubt. Which is in Wisconsin, $10.
Yeah, same here too.
$9.50.
It's bullshit.
I heard in Canada, there's people that go, you think that's enough to make you quit? Up here, it's like, I want to say someone told me like it's 19 or it's like 20 something.
Yeah, 20, yeah, it's 25 ridiculous. Bucks. They can't advertise. And so it's like behind the counter in like a cabinet that's like unmarked. Because the universal health care and the tax on it is ridiculous.
You'd have to be like the biggest baller ever to be like, yeah, I chew. Like, damn, son.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, you got that expensive shit.
Son, you chew every day, dude. It's like burning fucking Gucci sneaks or something.
Yeah, they don't fuck around. They really don't. And there's a lot of stuff that you can't qualify for, like government funded if you're chewing. Or smoking.
I hate sounding like a party pooper, but since I quit, like, I feel like it's insane. Like, and back to scale it back to 420, it's like to witness the propaganda that goes on to make weed seem like it's the worst thing in the world. But chewing and smoking and drinking, and obviously I play a part in the glamorizing of drinking, you know, making songs like Ronnie D,
yeah,
Dr. Pepper. But guess what? I grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
You know? But I feel like it's like, oh, the chewing tobacco, when people would be like, yeah, man, you think that you regret quitting, you miss chewing? I'm like, I wanted to quit fucking 7 years ago. I just fucking couldn't convince myself to. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I loved it. But it did nothing for me. I don't think I got buzzed. Like, if I got buzzed for the first, say, 2 weeks, 2 weeks to 12 years, the only time you felt anything is if you weren't chewing.
Yeah, it just became a necessity.
Yeah, like you don't get like a buzz from it.
Yeah, then it's just like, crazy. I crave it.
You just doing it.
Put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one thing I will say that was one of the reasons why I wanted to stop is I wasn't getting like that euphoric feeling, you know, and I realized like this is a waste of money.
Yeah.
Like, this is terrible. I actually ended up quitting because my wife got pregnant and we got life insurance, and my insurance agent was explaining to me if I, you know, they do like a blood and a urine test. If they find nicotine in your urine or your blood, the rate like skyrockets.
Mm.
It went from like, I want to say it was like $40 a month up to like $150 a month. Like, that's the difference between nicotine and non-nicotine.
So I was like, holy shit, I can go 2 weeks without chewing for that. You know, like, yeah. Save a lot of money then. So I went 2 weeks, and then at that 2 week mark, they're like, oh, it's going to be next week. The lady had to cancel. So I'm like, okay. And then that new week, and then it was one more week. So it was like 4 weeks that I hadn't. And I was at the end, I was like, oh, now I can go buy a tin. I'm like, I don't crave it. Like, why? I'm not going to go buy one.
No, that's good.
Haven't had it since, but like it was worth it.
If y'all can do that, like you, Dave can do it. Like if people can chew every once in a while and nothing seems to happen, that's awesome. I got to the point where it was like just doing it for literally no reason. I felt like fell asleep with them all the time. And
oh, damn.
It starts to do hella damage to your teeth. And no, if somebody wants to chew, go ahead. I think it's a terrible idea. It becomes very expensive. And you get to the point where you're like, damn, how many shades of yellow can my teeth go in like the tiniest amount of time? You stop paying attention to it. And then, you know, you go to the dentist and they start calling you out for it.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels embarrassing. Like, you know, you're like, you chewing? And you're like, yeah, I don't chew all that much. And they're like, bro, I can tell you chew every mother. Like, they can see it by the calluses in the side of your lips and the receding of your gums and shit. Like, you can't bullshit the people that look at teeth all fucking day long.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. That shit started to, like, it kind of started to wear on me. And then, I don't know, I'm glad that I quit. But I'll tell you what, it was not an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
You made a comment about using social media for accountability, and I used that when I was doing Sober October for the first time.
Yeah.
It was probably the first time in close to 20 years that I had quit for a month straight.
Yep.
Decided to do it and use my social media and talked about it on my social media and even just putting it out there to organize my own thoughts sometimes about it. And it just gave me the confidence to do it and the confidence to not break because it wasn't just letting me down. It was letting everybody that was supporting me on social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really helped. And then after I did my first one, you kind of break through the other side and you're like, wow, I guess I can do that. I can switch it on and off.
Yeah.
But then I just did like Bender till.
Bender September. March. Come off like of Bender that. September into Sober October or Bender December. I get fucked up around Christmas time. Did you feel like your followers, there was at least a couple people that tuned in and kind of rooted you on?
Yeah, I definitely felt that way. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that decide to do it with me for the first time. And I've done it for the last 3 years now, so it's just been an annual thing.
Yeah.
Mainly because Rogan and Kreischer and all those guys do it, and I followed their podcasts. And I was a little bit selfish about it a couple times. I was like, nah, there's a wedding, or no, it's Oktoberfest. I don't want to do it this month. And 1 year I just decided to do it.
Yeah.
And it was just a really good experience. It was a positive experience. It was really helpful for me. Even though it sucks to do it, to just go out and stay sober, go out to the bars, drive your buddies around, go to the club, meet your friends at a strip club, and don't drink and experience that for a change. And like
it's just lit every once in a while.
It is, yeah, a little refresher.
You notice so much more that's going on. You know, it's just people watching a bunch of people get drunk, and I'm high, just kind of watching, sitting back, and. It's always funny. You just pick up on things you would have never seen before.
Yeah. I mean, usually you would be like, all right, I'm going to smoke too, but correct me if I'm wrong, when you said Sober October, like, you no weed either?
Well, the first year I did it, I went like 14 days with no weed either, and then I was just an irritable
prick. Yeah, yeah. Kind of, and, or, yeah.
And so then since then, it's pretty much been California sober.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like when people say they're sober, I never factor that one in there. But I do know that sometimes when those guys do the Sober October, they include that. It's like, damn, I've done that before too, working, and it's like, it's all right. It can be fun, but it also, you know,
and they negotiate
boring that. As hell.
They negotiate that because like Joe is more of a smoker and Bert's more of a drinker. So to be fair, they just quit all of it.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing it for my own thing. So it's like, well, you know, I still have a little smoke now.
My peeps, on the no chewing thing, I was, not only was I so thankful, there was a bunch of people that like rooted me on about the no chewing thing. And then I would say at least once a week, sometimes a couple times a month, I will get a message from somebody that's like, Day 327, broer. Day 18. I got a day one. I get messages from people on a regular basis, and I always answer them. And someone will tell me how many days that they've been not chewing. And literally, I really don't believe I've ignored one. I've always answered it and been like, hell yeah, keep going. Depending on where you're at in the days, I like kind of know what to say to you. Because
you've been through it.
Day three, it's like, hang on, brother. But like...
You're in for the ride.
If you say 180, it's just like a, you know, that's right. Stay dirty.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a app or a creator that I followed. For some reason, he doesn't have the biggest account for this. I think it should be much bigger, but it's called Kill the Can. And his like constant content is about like quitting chewing.
Yeah.
His shit helped me out tons.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's his whole...
It's a whole thing.
It's based around just quitting chewing.
He's got a podcast about it. He's got a TikTok.
Damn.
And every single one. Most of his content is him answering a question. Like somebody will ask something or they'll say, I'm on day 22. And then he'll compliment you and give you like some advice. But he was explaining like what it's about to feel like when you quit. And I remember even like one of the deepest fears is like, you're like, oh man, like, what if I go to the dentist and they say like, you know, something's messed up with my teeth? And he's like, I recommend that once you get past like week two, go to the dentist, get a cleaning just to do it and see what they say. And he's like, wouldn't you want to know if something was messed? Like you're this deep fear. It's like, don't you want to know?
Get it over with.
Yeah.
And rip the Band-Aid.
I was so scared to do that. And I remember seeing that and I was like, yeah, you're right. Of course I want to know. And the cleaning will make you feel like you earned something for making it 2 weeks.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
And?
And, well, I had what I knew I had from previous damage. Like, I was probably 26 or 27 when they told me, like, you definitely got the precursors of periodontal disease, like gum disease.
Oh,
like,
shit.
No, oh, yeah. Like, you know, 12 years of chewing, like.
Damn.
Yeah,
I guess
that'll do her.
But I'm not kidding. Like, as a shout out to this, I didn't know we were going to end up on this topic, but this is where we are. Like, when I was in the heat of chewing, I'm talking, if I flossed, a little bit graphic here, but it's the damn truth, my teeth would start bleeding, like, wild. Like, every notch you'd hit it up, it'd start bleeding.
Really?
And being, like, 400 days since I quit, and I've done, like, plenty of, like, home remedy gum treatments and oil pulling and things. If they ever bleed, it's like for like a second and it'll be on like one corner of something. Like I completely, it's crazy how fast your gums will heal up when you stop.
Damn.
So like, if you think like some people would be like, oh, I've done it for too long. It's too damaged. It's like your body repairs itself. If you did irreversible damage, there's nothing you can do, but yes, they heal themselves quite. It's crazy how much my teeth have bounced back.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I think about that a lot with, like, lungs, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, you go a long period without smoking, and I notice a huge change.
Oh, yeah.
Just in, like, in my cardio, you know, like, even I'm walking, I get, you know, gassed easy, go a long period of time without smoking, and then, boom, I'm good to go again. And I got iron lungs.
Yeah, they bounce back. Like, they'll tell you that, like, you can actually look at certain charts that show you like how your body starts working again after nicotine.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
The craziest part to me is like your circulation. You know, like your constricting blood vessels in your hands and your feet about when you stop smoking cigarettes. That's I don't know why that is. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, and it'll tell you something that's like on day 27 you are now 30% less likely to have heart disease.
Right.
Like because you literally have given so much circulation back to your body. And this is talking about people that are everyday smokers, everyday nicotine users. If you're popping in a chew once a year at deer camp, I don't think you need to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so you're, Dave, good, you're good there.
Yeah.
You're golden.
I was. Good. I had multiple scenarios in my life when I was like waking up with them and shit. And like you like stay in the damn pillowcase in a hotel room and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, definitely stained a pillowcase was falling asleep with one in.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing.
It's not fun to deal with.
You're like, oh, man, there ain't nothing I can do about that.
Plus, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
You just always got the, you know, depending on how you're doing it,
when I started to getting into just of those nicotine pouches,
yeah,
so there was no tobacco. So those, you really don't get much like spit. You don't have to spit. And whatever little bit did come out from it, I would just swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I feel like was definitely more easy to do because you didn't have these spitters laying around. People never knew I had one in. It was just always in the back of my cheek, you know?
Yeah, dude, those nicotine pouches are like, if you look at like what amount of nicotine is in like a cigarette or in a chew, those nicotine pouches are arguably worse because people are just piss pounding them.
Yeah,
like,
way more.
I got homies where you'd be sitting at the bar, they'll have like 18 Zins in, like they're up here, down here, like stuck to the beer. And they look like these little, like, I don't even know, like they're like microscopic when they dry up.
Jennifer Aniston. There's a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah, dude, there's that guy on TikTok, like, Freeze tarps. Yeah, he's got
That sounds like a Gen Z.
Well, what do you think, guys? I think this is a good spot to wrap this thing up. What do you think?
Don't chew, kids.
Any shout-outs you guys want to give on the pod here before we head out?
Dave, you got any?
No, I've got rafter ass, man. This has been a long podcast.
It has been a long podcast.
I got a shout-out.
Yeah.
If you ever want to get some power washing, go to Pin It.
Fuck yeah. Go to Pin It.
Fucking I was right. like, have this in my pocket. I'm like, oh yeah, I do got something to promote. Not that anyone told me to, but shameless plug. That's my boy. That's my videographer, Jake Schiller.
See you next week.
See you next Tuesday.